Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Saturday is Black by Color Only Day here on CNN with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNN, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNN at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? So I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding,
This is Stu Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, good afternoon or good evening or whatever. It's, well, actually, back east, it's already nighttime. It's evening here. I've got an interesting show planned for tonight. We've already got a bunch of people coming in. One of the stories that I wanted to talk about tonight came from the Pinion Post. It's here in New Mexico, and it's our U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich, who is a Democrat, as all of them are, has said in a recent move that has stirred controversy, U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich, along with Democrat Senators Angus King of Maine, Mark Kelly of Arizona, and Michael Bennett of Colorado, introduced an extremist gas-operated semi-automatic firearms exclusion, which they call GoSafe, to outlaw most firearms in the United States. Heinrich claimed there is an urgent need for Congress to take away Americans' right to bear arms by banning some of the most popular weapons in the country. The proposed legislation will negatively impact law-abiding gun owners while neglecting the root causes of violence, which whenever they go after gun confiscation, stuff like this, there are several things they don't even realize. They never go after the root causes of violence. They always go after the law-abiding people who have guns. And the other thing that they don't get is what part of shall not be infringed do they not understand? I mean, I know two-year-olds who understand when you tell them, do not do this, do not infringe on this, do not do something. And these people are supposedly adults, and they cannot understand do not infringe. I mean, the Constitution is supposed to be something that they're in government to support, but they seem to be tearing it down with everything that they do. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out here that agree with me. I know there's a few who don't, but they're wrong. I just brought in 225. Which is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello. They just don't get it.
No, they don't.
I mean, they do not get it. I mean, look, your governor's still trying to do what she's doing, right? She doesn't. Well, she's still trying to do it.
Yep.
She's trying to take another bite of the apple, right?
Well, and on top of that, she's flying. Now get this. She's flying over to Dubai to be part of COP28 to get rid of gasoline-powered cars and push the electric vehicle, yet they're flying around the world in some of the most polluting things that they can have, but they want to blame us for everything.
It's not hypocrisy. It's hierarchy. They're in power. You're not. They can do whatever they want, and you can't. You know, if they want to fly around the world in jet power, you know, in jet airplane, in private planes that have a huge carbon footprint, they're gonna damn well do it, and they're gonna say, "Well, you can't do that. You can't do that." That's another reason why they hate Trump. Trump has his own jet. right? He can fly wherever he wants, whenever he wants, and they hate the fact that he can do that. And he's not, and they hate the fact that he's not for these carbon, you know, these the climate change shit, you know. And it's, yeah, it is what it is with that. Now, to this, you're right. What do they not understand about Chef? There's no doubt. There's no doubt that this, yeah, they're feeling their oats now in the Senate because they're in control right now. And if you look at it, that was only because of some of the shit that happened with Rona McDaniel and stuff, and the Republicans could have had a working, majority in the Senate if Rona McDaniel had supported some of the people that Trump had endorsed. Yeah. All right. So this is only on Rona McDaniel, but again, this guy, your senator, is feeling his oats because Schumer's there and he's in control of the Senate, and they have to know. He has to know that one, this bill is probably not going to get past the House of Representatives, probably not. And even if it did, you know, even if it did, it's going to be taken to the Supreme Court and probably slapped down there. So
probably.
And when Sarge calls in, if Sarge calls in, and we talk to him about this, he's going to come back to brewing.
Yep.
This flies in the place of brewing, this whole thing.
Yep. And I also brought in Gunslinger. He's in there too now.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yeah, hey.
Is Lori Ann here?
Somewhere,
yeah, Lori Ann's
think.
Here.
Yeah, I'm here, but I was forgotten
Hello,
about,
Ann.
Apparently.
No, yep. Can't forget you.
Poor child. Forgotten about.
Oh, yeah. Lorianne is here. That's right.
Well,
happy Friday, everybody. Who knows? I think we got a Skype caller raising their
yes,
hand,
we do.
So it might actually be Sarge. You probably heard his name and raised his hand. But hey, Mike. Hey, Gunslinger.
Yo, yo, yo. Hey, what you was talking about the gun issue, again, it's very simple. What part of no don't you understand? It's only two letters. N-O. No. Okay. Very simple. A four-year-old child understands no. Okay.
Yep.
But these idiots are supposed to be grown, intelligent adults. Pile of dog shit out in the backyard is more intelligence than them son bitches will ever be.
Yeah.
Okay, that's plain and simple.
I just brought in the Skype caller. So if it's Sarge or
it's me. I mean, I had planned to just listen tonight. I was hoping I wouldn't hear any baleful news that I would have to respond to, but I guess I do. Now, tell me something. What does this acronym GOSAFE signify again? Would you please read back to me what this acronym is supposed to stand for?
Let's see. They've got it here. To the gas operated semi-automatic something. Let's see. Oh yeah, here it is. Gas operated semi-automatic firearms exclusion.
Okay, that's very clever. All right, let me explain something. Now, see, this is a bit of sophistry that eventually they'll get rid of the S, semi-automatic, in there, and then they'll have a basis from which to ban all guns. Because if you think about it, every firearm that uses a chemical propellant, whether it is smokeless powder or black powder, whether it uses a centerfire primer, a rimfire primer, matchlock or a flint, they all ignite a powder that burns and operates a gun. The pellet burns, creates a lot of pressure in the chamber or the barrel, and forces the projectile out of the end of the barrel. So they're all gas operated if they're chemically fired firearms, every single one of them. Now, all we got to do is get rid of the F, and now they got a basis to man all guns. But that's okay, because they ain't supposed to be messing with the semi-automatic ones. And look, like we said about Bruin, Bruin says firearms in common use are protected absolutely as if they aren't the only type of firearm protected, but they are among the ones most protected by the Second Amendment. And it is clear that the semi-automatic guns they seek to bar are amongst the most popular and widely owned firearms in the United States. And finally, I know what they're trying to do. What they're trying to see, there are no consequences for these bastards. None.
Nope.
These lawmakers can just keep passing these laws because they don't have to face any punishment for it. They just keep doing it. And what they're hoping to do is to overwhelm Supreme Court with so many damn stupid laws. Supreme Court might, they're hoping, I guess, in their warped minds, Supreme Court just get tired of granting certiorari to all these goddamn stupid, idiotic laws. And that way they'll win. Because in the end, the Supreme Court will simply, you know, not hear the case. And the law will stand.
Yep. And I knew, Sarge, that if you were going to call in, all I had to do was bring up something from New Mexico, and it would have you come in.
Well, look, man, it has to be done because, look, these people don't care about us. They don't care about the Constitution. Wherever you look in the United States, they are instituting a reign of anarcho-tyranny, which means they're not protecting you against the anarchy that they are largely creating. And then they don't want you to be able to defend yourself against the very state of affairs that they themselves are creating. These people are diabolical, they are evil, and they need to be opposed with every single measure and strength we have in our bodies and our minds.
Well,
can't let them get away with this.
They had a thing here that the bill has few exceptions, but bans rifles with 10 rounds or more, a majority of AR-15s and other rifles. 1 in 20 Americans own an AR-15 rifle, and some of Heinrich's exemptions in the radical red legislation are listed as 22 caliber rimfire or less firearms, bolt-action rifles, semi-automatic shotguns, recoil-operated handguns, any rifle with a permanently fixed magazine of 10 rounds or less, any shotgun with a permanently fixed magazine of 10 rounds or less, any handgun with a permanently fixed magazine of 15 rounds or less. And that's his list of exemptions.
Well, look, Robert, all AR-15s in their basic iteration, all of them can take a detachable box magazine, which means they're capable of an unlimited amount of ammunition, depending on how large you want the magazine to be. So that means they're going to automatically get rid of every single one of them.
Yep.
You know, or maybe they might exempt it if it has that stupid bullet button nonsense they came up with in California, meaning the only way you can remove the magazine is to use the point of a cartridge or some sort of tool to be able to remove the magazine, or you permanently make a modification to it that will affix a permanently mounted magazine, say like in the M1 Garand.
Yep.
But it's kind of difficult to do given the makeup of the AR-15. But they've got things that'll do it. That means you got to break open the upper receiver, and then you got to load it through the open upper receiver, hinge it open, kind of like, you know, like a double-barrel shotgun. You know what the AR-15 is. And it's hinged open, and then you got to load the magazine through a clipper strip or a guide from the top. It's idiotic, but these colleges are idiots. They're tyrants. We can't let them get away with it. They're a bunch of goddamn fools. And this Mark Kelly, he used to be in the, he was an astronaut, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, that's right. He was an officer in the armed forces. To make it even worse. Because most of them were officers. I'm sure he was one of them. And here he is up here, having taken his oath of office to defend and protect and defend the Constitution. Now he's violated the way he is. Man, like I said, the problem for us is that these bastards do not face consequences for doing this. They can do it as many times, they can get away with it.
Well, you know, that,
that's right.
That one thing that was going on here in New Mexico with the governor pushing that gun ban here in Albuquerque, this article just showed up on Pinion Post, and it's the headline is Lujan Grisham extends radical anti-gun edict. It says Democrat anti-gun governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has decided to extend an executive order declaring gun violence a public health emergency. The renewal, effective until December 29th, 2023, underscores the governor's attacks on lawful New Mexico gun owners' rights. So she's extended that one.
Look at that. There's no consequences. There's no consequences. She'll do it from now until doomsday. What she got? To, what penalty did she suffer for doing it? None.
None. And most likely when the 29th shows up, she's going to extend it again if they allow her to.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
That's right.
This goes back to what Dan Bongino says about hypocrisy versus hierarchy. They're in power, you're not, and they'll do whatever the hell they want without repercussion. You know, that's hierarchy. You know, and so they're in power and you're not. She's in power and you're not. She can create these things and extend these things out to doomsday until they want. These people can try, and basically this guy with this bill is trying to do Cloud and Kevin, all right?
Yep.
Overwhelm the system to where they get what they want, right?
Right.
That's what this is all about. They're trying to overwhelm the system, like Charles said, until the Supreme Court comes back and says we're not hearing any more of this and lets the thing stand. That's what this is all about. And it's like the more they do this stuff and get away with it, it's going to take somebody with the stones to say, all right, if you're in power and you got away, okay, the Biden's getting in power and they get away with all the corruption. Because he's able to pardon his son, and he goes away, and and does whatever he does. Well,
yeah.
The Bidens need to go to jail, all of them, every goddamn one of them, you know. But they're not going to. But if somebody has the stones and say, "Okay, you went after me, I'm going to go after you. I'm going to go get you. I'm going to go get. I'm going to send Joe Biden to jail. I'm going to send Hunter Biden in jail. I'm going to send Frank and Hillary Clinton and Jill Biden and Bill Clinton. I don't care how damn old they are, you know, to jail, you know. And
Nancy Pelosi.
And that, Nancy Pelosi, and that's the thing. That would be having people with repercussions. And that would be a nail in the coffin to hierarchy, you know. I mean, you saw what just happened with the Republicans getting rid, expelling George Santos.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that is just because he told a few lies in there when everybody knows most politicians lie. Right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Right.
They don't do nothing to Joe Biden, and he lies all the time, you know. And it's obvious that he lies, you know. So, but they do some, we can't have, all this was about was they wanted one less Republican in office.
Yep.
You know, to give it's all about the majority. Because they think, getting rid of him, they can pick up that seat in that New York seat, which is basically a Republican seat nowadays. Now, but we'll see if that actually happens, because the person that it seems like there's that Hochul is is a very liberal Democrat, and they don't, most people don't like Hochul in Chicago, in New York, so we'll see how that works out. But that's what this was about with George Santos, you know.
Yep.
It's all about power with these people.
Yeah, I never read the article on it, but I saw the headline, and that was my first thought. It's all about power. They're trying to get rid of a Republican. And then I stopped to think about it. You know, well, how many times have they gone after Trump for things that they've made up? But there are stuff that is absolutely documented against Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, his wife, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, all of them. And none of them are having any problems right now because nobody's got the stones enough to say, okay, you guys all broke the laws. Nancy Pelosi committed a felony, I think it was, when she tore up that speech.
Mm-hmm.
And any one of us who would have done that, we'd have been in prison. There'd have been no ifs, ands, and buts about it.
Absolutely. It all goes back to what Gunslinger said about the election of 2020 and whether or not they're going to cheat again in 2024, right? And what Gunn has always said is they never got their hand slapped, right, Gunslinger?
He's probably there somewhere.
He's there somewhere.
Here we go. It would help if I unmute my mic. Stupid name. There you go. It's until these people get bitch slapped, not just a little slap in the back of the hand. I mean bitch slapped across the room, across the state for that matter. I don't care. They're not going to stop.
No.
You think they're going to stop? They're too power hungry. They're too money hungry. But too much. Too much to lose on their side, so they can't stop.
Yeah, and as long as there's no consequences to their actions, they're not going to stop.
No, no consequences at all. Nope. What do you do with little Johnny if he keeps putting his hand in the nookie jar? Just slap him. If you don't slap him, he don't keep putting his hand in that nookie jar, ain't he?
Yeah.
Human nature.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And then Lorianne's real quiet.
Oh yeah, I've been listening and hopefully trying to find a little opening in. But here's the thing is, all of this gun control, they're pushing more and more and more, and it's got to be for a reason. I think that there is something big being planned.
Oh, yeah.
And they want, yeah, you know, there's something big coming down the pipe. You know what I mean? And they want us disarmed. But the thing is, though, is, you know, we had another record-breaking year of firearm sales in 2023. I mean, we have more guns now than we ever did. The more they push for it, the more they want to ban all these kinds of guns is creating the demand, and the manufacturers just can't keep up. What it's also going to do, I mean, yeah, they're making people that are normally law-abiding, that want to comply with the laws and stuff, they're going to force them into purchasing guns in other states, and then bringing them home with them, you know, yep. And risking being caught with them. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's just people are stocking up on their firearms of all different kinds, especially semi-automatics, especially semi-automatic rifles. I mean, you know, AR-15 style. Rifles, that's part of the record-breaking numbers. It's like most people are like, oh, yeah, I just, you know, I can handle like a six-shooter or something, you know, a little pistol. No. They're just, you know, they're saving up money so that they can get that AR-15, you know,
yep.
Instead of what they might normally have gotten. And so all of this is going to backfire. So I think that in a way, whatever is being planned that they are so desperate for us to be disarmed for is backfiring on them. You know, it will backfire. There's going to be so many guns in so many people's hands. And you know what the surprising statistic is about the record-breaking firearm sales? Is Democrats. Democrats, you know, people that are reported Democrats are in one of the mm-hmm. highest demographics over the last year of buying firearms. Even some yep. of the Democrats are starting to wise up to this shit, folks. And so that's actually a good thing. You know, I hope that more Democrats go, you know what? Maybe I need to go out and buy some. Maybe these, you know, far-right conspiracy theorists that I've been scoffing at for the last several years, maybe they just might be onto something. And yep. maybe yep. I should be going out to buy one too.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've kind of looked at, and I've looked at it just, I really haven't dove into it to see just what the real numbers are, but it seems like most of your firearms that are being bought now are in your liberal states because people are arming up, because I know they are here in New Mexico.
Oh, yeah, it's like get them while you can. And then did you guys see Tesla's latest Cybertruck? That just got delivered to people that ordered it. It's like almost $70,000, but he made it bulletproof. There's got to be a fucking reason for that. You know what I
mean? Oh, that's awesome. But who can afford $70,000 in this economy? Not many.
Yeah, not many.
Man,
well, you know,
can we have a raffle or something? Like, can I pay $5 into a raffle and give one away like every month? You know, maybe we can win one.
No, Gunslinger just recently bought himself a 9mm. His gun of choice at one point for a long time had been a 357. You know, the hand cannon, right, Gunslinger? So. You know, when you got people that are deciding that I need more than one gun, that's what happens. The gun sales go through, and especially when you got these Democrats, you know, that are doing this stuff. I mean, it's not just your senator. It's what's his name that's now the senator in Arizona that was Gabby Giffords' husband, that is Gabby Giffords' husband, was, I don't know if Gabby's dead. I mean, if you notice, the one, of course, he's a Republican, but Steve Scalise he doesn't want stuff like this, even though he got shot at that baseball game, at that baseball practice, right?
Yeah.
But he's a Republican and he's a constitutionalist, and he'd rather have people have guns to be able to protect themselves. I mean, remember January 6th, what happened? The governor, the mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, comes out and says, we're not going to allow people to bring guns into Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Well, which is in and of itself, it's unconstitutional. You know, people should be able to bring a gun anywhere they want. I mean, within reason, but should be able to bring a gun anywhere they want, right? That's edict.
Well, what do you mean within reason? According to whose reason, though? See, that's the little mental trap that the gun grabbers want you to fall into. You should be able to bring it anywhere that you need to protect yourself in. Period. Mm-hmm. Not within reason, because that's the whole problem. Everybody's like, well, within reason, not in schools, not in church, not at the airport, not this place, not that place. It's a never-ending fucking list when you start it going down that mental trap of where you can or cannot carry.
And that's the thing. And, you know, think about it. There was a reason why they didn't want them in the thing, because at January 6th, because that's being threatening. They want they didn't want to have the ability to be threatened to where, oh, we're not gonna do this. We're gonna do this, this, and this, and not do what the law stated that the traitorous Vice President Mike Pence should have done, and sent these things back to the House of Representatives, which would have ended up sending them back to the states.
Yep.
You know, in January 6th, I've been going through all those videos from that stash from the January 6th file, you know, and it's amazing to see how relaxed these people are, the cops and all these people that are in these videos, how relaxed they are. It's not like they're scurrying around trying to stop people coming in through windows or anything. They're just loafing around and just going in and out of doors. And it's like, okay, if it was such a big deal, why aren't they rushing around? You know, why aren't they getting to places and getting there fast? And it's like, okay, that should tell you something. You know, that should tell you that this whole thing, this whole January 6th thing was bullshit.
Yep. Well, you know, one of the things that really bothers me when it comes to Senator Heinrich here in New Mexico is the fact that if you look up his main residence, it's not in New Mexico. It's in Maryland.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of those senators and representatives don't live in their states where they're from.
And they should.
A lot of them do that. I mean, why do you think that song by Oliver Anthony, Richmond North of Richmond, was so popular? You know?
Yeah.
That these people go off and they don't come home. Once they get elected, they don't come home. And it doesn't matter if Oregon,
yep,
Texas, Louisiana, Georgia. Well, maybe some places do come home, but Georgia, you know, Florida, any of these places, they don't. When they go, they don't come back.
Yeah.
Oh, they claim they're from, you know, Baton Rouge or New Mexico or wherever they're from. They claim they're from there, even though they may not be living there. They haven't been living there for ages, 4 to 6 years, you know.
Yeah.
Or more if they ran several times. And I don't know, this Heinrich guy, is how long has he been in office? How long has he been a senator?
I think he's only been in there for one or two terms. Hasn't been very much.
Oh. Well, I mean, that's 12 years, almost 12 years, two terms.
Yeah, if he's been in there that long. And it's like that Gabe Vasquez, who won the District 2 because they took the district and raised it up so that went not just in southern New Mexico where it's all conservative, but they raised it up and went all the way into South Albuquerque, which is all liberal. And he just barely won. But they did that just before the election. So everybody who was going to vote
They tried. I mean, that, and gunslinger can talk about this. They tried to go after Ted Cruz with Beto O'Rourke, which didn't work out for him, but they tried
Thank God.
Go after Ted Cruz, you know?
Yep. And it looks like
Talking
Donnie
about
C.
about January 6th, I'm going to flip back a little bit, but did you guys see that conveniently there are many, many tapes of interviews of eyewitness accounts on January 6th that have just poof disappeared. They've conveniently lost lots and lots of interview footage with witnesses.
Yep.
So now, you know, because now, of course, this is convenient because the GOP is trying to push for another January 6th, a more fair January 6th committee to go over it again, since we all know how absolutely biased and what a clown show it was when the Democrats did it. And so they're calling for a new investigation now that, you know, now that all of the video footage has been put out there. But what's conveniently missing is all the interviews, the eyewitness accounts of what was happening right there on the ground. That'll make a new investigation very hindered. You know, you're not going to be able to call those same witnesses back and have them recite their story and see if their story has changed, you know, and detect any kind of manipulation with their story, you know, if you don't have anything to compare it to. You know, like when you first, you know, file a police report and then the story changes later. That kind of thing. So, you know, this is a big deal, and like not enough people are talking about it. How the fuck did they lose this footage? You know, come on now. You know, who was in charge of it? Who lost it? I want to know. You know, this is so typical crap. You know, if it was the Capitol Police, if it was the FBI, if it was Homeland Security, somebody disappeared that footage of all of these interviews, you know, and whoever was responsible for it needs to be brought up to, on obstruction charges at the very least.
And you know darn good and well, if they were Republicans, they would be.
Look, what's the difference between what you just said and all that footage from the Pentagon? Just mysteriously just went poof. Over 100 cameras that day in operation. And where'd it go? Where's the plane? Where's the tapes? Same thing. They hide it. They hide it because they don't want you to know the truth. You know, it's plain and simple. You got 120 cameras out there around that building, and every one of them was operating. Even if three quarters of them was operating, it's going to show what really hit that building. And they don't want you to know that. No, no, no. Got to keep the people dumb, you know. The only way you can control us. Dumb us up.
Absolutely.
Sweet lot.
It's also like this, guys. There was, on January 6th, just before that, there was bomb threats at both the Republican National Committee and the Democrat National Committee, right? Buildings, right? But the problem is with all the cameras around there, they never got a clear picture of who planted the, quote, bombs, you know. They never got that clear picture. Come on, man. You're telling me this is – Washington, D.C. is one of the most surveilled cities in the nation, right? And you didn't get a picture of a person who – a so-called person – who planted bombs outside both the major parties, you know, headquarters. Come on, man.
Of course they got pictures of it. They know they got pictures of it. They're sitting on it, okay? They got pictures of, you know, January 6th where that damn murderer murdered Ashley Babbitt in cold blood. They got videos. They got everything. They got everything down to a gnat's ass. Them cameras are so good, they can see a gnat's ass, okay?
Yep.
That's how good the optics are, okay, today with today's technology and cameras and video, pro-circuit television and all that stuff. I mean, if at these major casinos across the country, they've got cameras that can zoom in on the serial number of a $100 bill.
Yep.
And for decades. They've had that for decades, okay? So, gee whiz, where'd it go? Again, where'd all that tape go? Oh, the goat, oh, you ate it. You know, like, goat, eat your homework, you know, goat ate it. Yeah, I believe that. Sure. Sure. Uh-huh.
Yep. Well, there was another article that I found that actually brought up some other stuff. You know, like we've talked about the fraud of the election in 2020, and how they're constantly saying that there was no widespread evidence of anything happening. This comes from the election integrity leaders in Virginia, who discovered many local precincts in Henrico County, I guess, H-E-N-R-I-C-O, with voter turnouts reaching over 100% from the 2020 election. That named off, I think, about 10 of them. So Randolph County had 115%, had 426 votes, and 326 were registered. Spotswood had 113%, 1,260 votes with 1,111 registered. Monument Hills, 111% with 1,270 votes with only 1,120 registered. And it goes on, and the only two in that whole thing that were exactly right was Lauderdale and Antioch, and they were both at 100%. All the rest of them were above 100%. And it says this is from an expert at Real SKS ESHEL, who estimates that there were 15,572 fraudulent votes in Henrico alone. And they're saying there's no widespread evidence of fraud. To me, that's pretty widespread right there, even though it's just one county. But if you've got one county with that many votes that shouldn't have happened, what about the rest of the country?
Yeah, what about the rest of the country? That's the thing. I'm pretty sure that Fulton County had the same type of problems.
Oh, absolutely.
Close to it, you know? And we can basically look at some of the stuff that happened in Fulton County and say, okay, something's up here. I mean, they're shutting down the building because of a, quote, water leak that never seemed to have happened and all that stuff. Then pulling out the fucking suitcases full of ballots from underneath the tables. You know, kicking out the Republican poll watchers. And, you know, and then opening up again only to the Democrat poll watchers, you know, all this stuff that, and now we look at different elections that have happened in different states that say, oh, these people did this X, Y, and Z, and it fits with what happened in 2020, and judges are saying we got to look at this election, like in Connecticut, and there was another one. You know, another one in another state that they had to look at, but like in Connecticut where they had to look at an election, you know, for, it was a local election for like a mayor or something, and they say, oh, we got to look at this election, and they did, and they flipped the election because the votes weren't right, right?
Yep.
It was, you know, and that's the thing. So there's all kinds of proof that election can be tampered with and illegally tampered with. Well, tampering is tampering, but anyway. And, I mean, they poo-pooed 2,000 mules because, oh, they don't like the geofencing or whatever it is when, and basically I'll defer to our resident police officer, Sarge, law enforcement definitely uses geofencing to track criminals, and it works.
Yep.
So why wouldn't it be a successful thing in tracking these people who were going to these drop boxes and loading the drop boxes with illegal votes? Why wouldn't it work that way? It works, and they poo-poo something that obviously works in other types of crimes, and they poo-pooed it, and, you know, and, well, there you go. They want their guy in there. They want their puppet in there, you know. They'd rather have a corrupt person in there, and he is definitely corrupt, and that's, you know, people don't get that this guy is not a good guy. I mean, some people do, but the Democrats, oh, they're our guy. We'll look past the corruption because he's our guy. Now, granted, it looks like they're trying to get rid of him, the Democrats, and they're having a problem doing it. You know,
well,
but
if they were following the rules that they're supposed to be following, it wouldn't be difficult to get rid of them at all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when all this stuff started to come out and it was being turned over to the Republicans, what I thought was going to happen, because really what should have happened way before this is, what's her name should have invoked the 25th Amendment and got him out of the office. But when she didn't do that, I thought, well, okay, all this information is coming out against Biden, and it's going straight from deep, what appeared to be the deep state, because the deep state don't like Biden now. It was going from the deep state to the House of Representatives, and what I thought was going to happen was, the impeachment would ensue. They would impeach him. They would send the impeachment, the articles of impeachment, to the Senate. They would tell Schumer in no uncertain terms, you're going to have this trial, and we want this guy out. You're going to have this trial and get him out of here. That's what I thought was going to happen, but obviously not.
Yeah. And Sarge has sure been quiet.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, but those are the two articles that I actually found tonight that were pretty cool. And then right after that, one I talked about with Heinrich, that one that came in after that was with Governor Grisham extending her unlawful gun grab here in Albuquerque. It's something needs to be done, and it needs to be done fairly fast, because these people absolutely have no fear for what they're doing. Now, one of the other things that our stupid governor did this week is she flew to Dubai to talk to them about getting rid of the gasoline vehicles here in New Mexico and around the United States and replacing them with EVs. But you notice they're not using electric airplanes to go over to Dubai.
Of course not. Well, then, you know, here's something that I kind of found surprising that I saw. The president of Jordan, the country Jordan, finally said what nobody else is saying. He's saying that the bombings going on in Israel has had a huge impact on the climate and environment, the environmental impact of all these bombings going on.
Yeah, I was wondering when somebody come up
with
that.
I found that surprising because how many times have we said this? This is something that all of these warmonger supposed leaders, you know, and politicians, they never talk about that when they're talking about climate change and the environment.
Oh, no.
They're never talking about how, you know what, every single vehicle that every single person in the whole entire world owns pales in comparison as far as emissions and pollution goes. It pales in comparison to the military. All the militaries of the world own everybody's, all the training exercises, all the experiments on, you know, the latest missile, the latest bomb, blah, 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 you know. And then when there's actually armed conflict and war, nobody ever talks about how that exponentially is so much more impactful. You know, so we need to buy these super expensive battery-operated vehicles, right? You know, we're supposed to reduce our carbon footprint and all this bullshit. And for what? So that our military can, you know, feel free to bomb even more, you know?
Well, they're probably
to give them more
that,
allowance? What is that?
Well, they're probably thinking that if they can get away with getting all of us to use electric vehicles, which, by the way, will not cut down the carbon footprint. But
no.
If they can get us all to... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you hit a good term there. It's not going to cut down on the carbon footprint. It's going to increase the carbon footprint. Okay,
yes.
Because when you start plugging in all these electric vehicles, guess what? That generator has to work 10 times harder now. Okay, for everything you load up, that generator's got to work 10 times harder. So that means it's got to have more fuel, okay? So that means it's going to consume more fuel, okay? You're going to have to up the pressure. You're going to have to up the steam pressure. You're going to have to increase the coal production to get to feed that big bastard, okay? So you're not doing nothing. You're actually harming the environment, okay, if you want the truth. And when you go out there and you mine these lithium batteries, okay, or the lithium, okay, for the batteries, you've got these big-ass, hairy-ass cat bulldozers out there that take 2,000 gallons of diesel each per day.
Yep.
2,000 gallons of diesel just to mine enough batteries to make one or two fucking electric vehicles. So you go figure that one. Who's harming who now? Go ahead.
Not to mention all the resources that it takes to mine it. You know, people don't realize that not only does it take a lot of fuel for all the huge equipment to dig and mine this stuff, but it takes a lot of water as well. It takes a lot of resources. And then I found it kind of funny. I saw an article a few days ago how I think it was in, like, North Dakota or something, or maybe it was Iowa. I think maybe something. I don't know. But they have this huge hailstorm that took out an entire field of solar panels. You know, and it's like, duh. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just this huge, huge field of solar panels just all wiped out. Well, what are the environmental hazards of that? Okay, so now all these solar panels have been taken out. They're useless. What's going to happen? They're going to have to be removed. They're going to have to go somewhere. You know, they're not easily recycled. They're not easily repaired when they're damaged, like things like that. So, you know, what happens to all of those? You know, people just, they don't think two steps ahead. You know, even with these windmills, you know, these huge metallic windmills, it's like, do you realize how many resources and fuel went into building them in the first place, and then you can't recycle them once they've, you know, been damaged or once they've outlived their usefulness? So it's like, well, what happens to those, you know? Oh, it's going to take 5,000 years for them to biodegrade, you know? Oh, boy, that's, you know, come on now. People are so damn stupid because, thank you, Department of Education, they've ensured that people aren't thinking two or three steps ahead of the game here, and they're just falling hook, line, and sinker for whatever the latest bullshit they're being told.
Yep. And then the other thing, we're not... The other thing, they're not
when
being...
You...
No, oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, you mentioned another deal on the electric or the windmills, okay? People don't know this either, but these things have to have power. If you shut these things down because of coal, just like it did here in Texas, you know, when all these other ones froze, okay? They have to have power to keep them from freezing. They didn't do that here, okay? But they have to have power to run the heaters to keep that oil from getting so thick and be like concrete, okay?
Yep.
And then these things are so huge, these blades are so huge, you have to have an electric motor to start these things turning. It's like a starter on your car, okay?
Yep.
Wind may be blowing pretty good, but these things ain't turning because they're so huge and they weigh so much, you have to have a torque motor to start these things turning. mm-hmm. every time the wind changes. So where's the savings on that? It's just like a fucking nuclear power plant. If a nuclear power plant shuts down, you still have to have external power, or that son of a bitch goes boom. Okay, a lot of people don't know that either. Okay,
yep.
If a nuclear power plant shut down for any reason, okay, somebody farts wrong. Okay, you have to have external power from outside that plant to keep them pumps running, them cooling
yep.
pumps. And if the cooling pumps fail, start glowing, baby, because your ass is going to be in trouble.
Yep.
Look at Fukushima.
And the other thing, the other thing they're not thinking about the electric vehicles too is the weight of them. Because they're going to have to start rebuilding these multi-story car lots because they're not going to be able to support the weight. Our highways will be damaged beyond repair quicker because of the weight. The tires on these things actually cause pollution on themselves because of the weight.
Each battery pack in a standard, just a low standard electric vehicle weighs 2,000 pounds. That's a ton. 2,000
yep.
pounds is a ton. Okay? And they're comprised of anywhere from 6 to 8,000 little bitty cells. They're about, maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit thicker than your standard AA battery. Okay? 6 to 8,000 of these things in there. Okay? In one battery pack. That's why they blow up, and that's why they are so horrible to try to put out, because it's a cascading event. When one of them little bastards get too hot and they start to catch on fire, well, guess what? They're so crammed in there like sardines, okay, then it sets the other one off. Well, that one sets that one off. It's like a card. You put up 10,000 cards, and you hit one of them, and they all fall. Same thing. Called a cascade of failure, cascade runaway failure.
Yep.
Yeah.
And each one of them has its own oxidant that further accelerates
yep.
the event. One
yep.
from the exterior,
yep.
and that's why they can't put them out. Because when they
yep.
put them in the water, I mean, they have their own self-sustaining oxygen supply to keep them burning.
Yep.
You can't put them out.
Keep them burning.
But you know what? One thing, you know... I got to push back a little bit against what Lori said about the fact that the United States Armed Forces use so many motor vehicles. The United States Armed Forces uses about, the entire Pentagon has about 420,000 or so vehicles of all types, whether it's self-propelled artillery or earth movers or semi-tractor trailers or cargo trucks or armored fighting vehicles. It's a total amount of somewhere in the neighborhood 420 to 450,000 vehicles. There are 280 million registered motor vehicles on the highways in the United States alone. So, see, we can't let these people who want to diminish the defense, that's why they're trying to make us go to electric vehicles. They're claiming that the United States Armed Forces is doing so much polluting.
I'm talking about all the planes. I'm talking about all of it, not just the vehicles military uses, driving vehicles. I'm talking all of it, planes, trains.
Well, I was about to go on to that next.
All of it. It doesn't even compare to all
the vehicles
that are on
the
road.
Yeah, I was about to go on to all of that next, because Navy ships, warships burn oil, which powers the turbines, and that you have to take that into account. And, of course, the aircraft, if you add all of that up, that's roughly the equivalent of, I don't know, about a million or so vehicles on the road today. So the United States Armed Forces is not contributing significantly to whatever it is they claim motor vehicles do to the environment. What they want to do, though, is to have an institution that they can control and set a standard for. They say, well, look what we made the United States Armed Forces do. We made the armed forces stop polluting so damn much. And by the way, there is a place tactically for electric vehicles because they're quiet. And if stealth is what you really need, an electric boom buggy would be great. But for most uses in the armed forces, you're going to need the internal combustion engine for most things, especially because of the flexibility you have to get them going again. It is so much easier to just pour fuel into the gas tank than is to have generators all over the place to recharge the batteries, which, by the way, are going to be powered by fossil fuels. So the thing of it is that we cannot be misled by anything these people say. They lie to us about everything. They take everything out of context. Their job is not to make the armed forces better. Their job is not to make things more efficient. Their job is not even to improve the environment, because none of this is going to do that. Their job is to institute totalitarian control on all of us. That is the first, foremost, and last objective. It is watermelon Marxism. It's green on the outside. It's red on the inside. That's all it is. That's all it is. There's no other justification for it. It will not help save the environment anyway. And you know what I do whenever I hear these dummies talking about electrical vehicles? I go back and I take that 10-minute clip from the movie Bullet. You know where they got that big-ass 444 Magnum cubic-inch engine in that Dodge RT Charger and that beautiful 32-valve, 390 cubic-inch dual overhead cam Ford V8 in that Mustang, and I just listen to 10 minutes of pure exhaust and watching beautiful hydrocarbons rafting into the air. I love it. It's the perfect antidote for all of these clowns and their environmental wet dreams.
Absolutely.
That's one.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I swear, that part in the movie where they're plowing for each other, and Lalo Schifrin's got that background jazzy score going, you know, like McQueen's trying to keep up with him, and they're slowly going through the streets, following the speed limits. Then all of a sudden, the hitman in a black Dodge RT Charger opens up that magnificent 440 big block Magnum. Man, all you hear from then on out is squealing rubber and beautifully throated V8 exhaust opening up and suspensions banging and slamming as they go over the hills and whatnot and skidding tires going through. You don't hear no dialogue, no nothing. Just pure motor vehicle orgasmic delight.
Yep.
And believe me, that remedies everything for me when I get to hear that. Every time I hear these dummies, I go to my computer, I get that clip on YouTube, and I play it. And I feel better.
I just get in my Mustang and go down the road.
Man, the internal combustion engine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. Period. Period. End of story. It is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. There's no doubt about it. The way it has improved our lives and made doing chores easier and moving cargo around, it is unequaled for the purpose for which it was designed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then nobody even comes up with the fact that back in the 70s, you know, I can remember the 70s here. You can see there was a brown haze that went all the way around Albuquerque. It's no longer there. We've cleaned up the air quite a bit, and the internal combustion engine burns 80 to 90% cleaner than it used to. Nobody mentions that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. I mean,
remember, this is not about the environment. It is about control. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yep. You're right. You're right, Sarge. I mean, back in the 70s when they went after the muscle cars, you know, because, they were burning too much gas and all that stuff and causing smog and all that shit. And then you're right. Things like the Dukes of Hazzard, things like Smokey and the Bandit, the Cannonball Run. Those things I enjoy watching because I enjoy watching, you know, cars chase each other. The Dukes of Hazzard jumping all over the place. I enjoy watching, you know, Burton Reynolds going around in that Z98 car just going all over and trying to get away from him. I enjoy all this stuff. I enjoy that stuff. You know, it's fun. It's funny how they want to take away all the fun out of TV and out of having fun, you know? I mean, cars generally are fun, you know?
Yep.
They are fun. They not just get you places, but they are fun. You know, I mean, if you're going to say, okay, we're going to try and take, you know, we're going to try and have all the NASCAR and IndyCar things go, you know, electric, that's not going to happen. Simple as that. That ain't going to happen.
Yep. That's for sure. I remember back in those days, I had a, my car back then was a 68 Ford Torino GT Fastback 302 engine in it. I love that car. It was so much fun to drive.
Well, I want to make it clear that, again, there is nothing wrong with electric vehicle technology if you have a niche for it. If you have a use for it and it fits your particular circumstances, it's fine technology as long as you understand its limitations. My objection, first, foremost, lastly, and always, is not the technology, because, again, it has, as I just pointed out, it has its uses even in the armed forces if you need a stealthy vehicle that doesn't make noise. I mean, the electric vehicle is the way to go, as long as you understand the limitations of it, particularly with regard to recharging and keeping it going. But my objection is this damn corrupt federal government run by this senile corruptocrat and all the lunatic environmentalists who advise him. That's my objection. They're trying to force us into something rather than let the marketplace make the decisions as to whether electric vehicles should survive or not. That's my objection. And we can see it now in the fact that the automakers are losing $39,000 on average per motor vehicle. $39,000 because you're piling up in the dealer lot. Nobody wants them. They're expensive to make. They've got a ton of problems. The technology is simply not mature yet, unlike the internal combustion engine. Probably going to be a long time before it is. In the meantime, they could have done it slowly. They could have worked out the bugs, and they could have presented the public a technology that was viable and useful for people in their lives. Instead, they had to try to rush us into it with a lot of hype and bullshit, crap, lies, and distortions. And that's the problem with it, not the technology itself.
Yeah. I just brought Pionki in, so he's here now, too.
Hi, Pionki.
Hey. Well, see, here's the thing.
Pionki.
Every night I get on my knees, and Sarge, you know what I pray for?
What's that, brother? Enlighten me.
I pray for a big-ass volcano eruption that would blacken the sky for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then listen for what excuses would come out of that natural event.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what their explanation is. That would be interesting.
You know, you talk about electric cars. The technology, you know, people was having kit cars like that a long time ago. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense to put an industry out that so many people depend on. So many people depend on. From those that work in exploration and extraction of the oil that's used to make the organic fuel, to those who's worked in that industry and they depend on it for their pensions in order for them to live in their latter years. What kind of sense does that make at all? Hell, you don't kill Social Security, so now you want to kill the industries that make available for the retirees to be able to survive. It's just dumb. It's just dumb logic.
Like I said, these people don't like us. They don't care about us. They hold us in contempt. And they think there are betters. We don't believe in killing babies arbitrarily in the womb. We don't believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion as a religion. We don't believe in globalism. Therefore, we're not enlightened, and we're worthy of marginalization, if not outright imprisonment and death yet. So believe me, their actions are a reflection of their contempt for us. They don't like us, and they don't care what happens to us as long as they achieve their agenda. We just better accept that. I know it's hard to accept, but I'm telling you, I go everywhere I can go. and I listen to their ideological premises. And believe me, it is consistent with that of the fascists. They don't like us. And if we let them have their sway, we're going to all be in trouble.
Yep, that's right.
Well, you got that right. Did
Absolutely.
You listen to that video with Cori Bush there at that hearing? And, you know, you white male, she blamed you again. God damn. Cori Bush blamed the white male again. So if you feel it itching on the back of your neck, that's her what's talking about you. And these people, like you say, they're plain crazy. Just like that mayor in Chicago going to blame slavery and the fact that those on they, you got a bunch that didn't like the outcome of the Confederate War, the Civil War, that is. He's blaming that on the downfall and the problems that Chicago is having. Now, what in the hell is the Civil War got to do with what's going on in Chicago at this point in time based on the lack of judgment, the lack on good politics, and based on a constituency that's just too ignorant to vote for somebody other than a D behind the name and their skin color?
Bianchi, the people who wouldn't accept the results of the post-bellum United States after the Civil War, D next to their name. They were Democrats. They opposed Reconstruction. They opposed, they were part of the Ku Klux Klan. They opposed every bit of civil rights legislation right through 1965. I mean, these are the people who wouldn't accept the results of the Civil War. His very party. It's unbelievable the projection these people were capable of, and nobody calls them out on it. It's unreal.
Well, hell, look how they're trying to cast blame. The last time I checked, and of course things may have changed, people may have resigned or failed dead, the lieutenant general of the state of Illinois was a black female. The secretary of state for the state of Illinois was a black male. The chief police officer, the attorney general for the Illinois, was a black male. You had two black mayors, including that Lori Lightfoot and what you got now. You had a prosecutor of Cook County where the city of Chicago sits in, Kim Fox. She's a black female. You had black male commissioners of police. You had black male police chiefs. Now, what else is there to have? You got to start electing some people that's got some damn sense. You met, you let your politicians, including that dumb governor, declare Chicago City as a sanctuary city. Now look what you got. You got the residents turning out, in particular blacks. They're ready to cut your damn necks off.
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
I think we better start reacquainting people with the meaning of the word cognitive dissonance. We've got one hell of a lot of that in much of the Democrat Party electorate. If we can reacquaint them with it and make them understand that much of what they're doing is expressive of the worst sort of cognitive dissonance, maybe we can have some meaningful change and we can actually move this country forward on a good note. That's what we got to start doing. Hey, folks, you asked for this. These people are giving it to you. They told you this is what they were going to do. And you just, for whatever reason, you decided to go along with it. It struck some sort of resonant chord with you. Maybe you ought to ask yourself, maybe that chord is not something you really need to be allied with or hope for. We better figure out a way to get to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when you got these people, Bianca gave the list of these people in Illinois. When you got people like Alvin Bragg and the mayor of New York City and Letitia James up there in New York, and then of course Fannie Willis, and all these people that are, guess what, Democrats and black, you know, that of course they are adding to the whole cognitive dissonance thing, you know. I mean, now granted, it appears that some of the people in that in Fulton County, which is majority black, but are starting to wake up a little bit. But is it enough? Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. I mean, they've been dealing with Fannie Willis down there for how long now? And it's like they elected her.
Yeah.
I know she's a Soros person, but they elected her, you know.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. I can't for the best of me understand why does it take people to have a damn calamity, a damn right out damn devastating catastrophe before they begin to understand that something ain't right. Hell, this past Thanksgiving, if you put a turkey in the oven at 12 noon and you come back at 3 o'clock, it ain't done. You come back at 5 o'clock, it ain't done. 6, 7, 8 o'clock, it's not done. At what point in time do you realize that something just ain't right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I just brought Ron Reck in.
Well, if you're thoroughly invested in a narrative, maybe you never will. I think so many people in those communities are so invested in the narrative that the Republican Party is a party of racism and Jim Crow rather than the actual party that is, then it's hard to let it go. It's hard to let go of myths. And
yep.
Many people in these communities are thoroughly invested in these myths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. When I got through talking to you this afternoon, Forrest, I talked to another person. And I asked them, you come tell me that Cori Bush done some good. And he went on. I said, hold it right there. Right there, stop. Get into detail of the good that she's done. He can't do it. All they can do is give you a general cake, icing, spread response. But when you ask them to get into the fine details of what this politician have accomplished, they can't do it. You know why? Because there ain't nothing that they done. Just like that damn Newsom, every time DeSantis was telling him how bad New York is. You know the funny thing about it? He made mention that the states with the biggest crime are red states. Well, yeah, yep. You're goddamn right they are. Because the crime is coming out of those red cities that lie within the blue cities that lie within the red states. That's why they're so high in crime. You talk about Missouri, St. Louis, and Kansas City. You talk about these other states. You talk about Louisiana. Well, New Orleans.
Yep.
Come on now. You talk about Mississippi. You got Jacksonville, Mississippi. You talk about the state of Florida. You got Jacksonville, Florida. That's where your crime is. It's just ridiculous that one city can present that much crime to make it look like it's reflected of the whole damn state.
And if you take away Little Rock from the rest of that state of Arkansas, or if this crime rate in Little Rock was the same as in the rest of Arkansas, it'd be one of the lower crime rate states in the nation. But they've got mm-hmm. Little Rock, and that skews everything wildly high. Same thing with mm-hmm. Illinois and Chicago. Same thing. The homicide rate in particular is nothing downstate in the southern part of Illinois like it is up north in Cook County. It's not even close. It's not even approach it. But Chicago skews everything wildly out of proportion. And it's the same way across the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What was that one report that said if you took out the crime that's in how many, about eight cities, United States would drop down in that type of activity on a world statistics. Now that there is telling you something.
Yeah, we'd be lower than about 7 of the states in Europe that these gun grabbers tell us we ought to be emulating. If our crime rate was the same, if you take away these high crime rate Democrat-run cities and their crime rate was roughly, and that doesn't have to be the same, just somewhere in the ballpark with the rest of the nation,
We'd have a lower crime rate than 7 or 8 of the major countries in Europe that these people are always telling us we need to emulate.
And, hey, Sarge. And guys, go ahead.
Hello there.
Hey, Sarge. I got
I
two
brought
things
Boyd
for
in
you.
Too. I brought Boyd
Sarge,
in.
Sarge, I got two things for you. We dropped to, if we took the cities out, the murder rate shit, we dropped to, I believe it's 10th from the bottom in the world. Whereas now we're what? We're right up there at the top. And I do have an answer. And
among industrialized nations, we're at the top. Now, that doesn't include non-industrialized nations. There's a lot of them above the United States. But among industrialized nations, yeah, we're near the top.
Yeah. Well, we're near the top on all of it. But anyway, I do know what was wrong with your turkey.
With the who?
Yeah, you had a liberal cook who was concerned about the environment, so they didn't turn the oven on.
Blessed to be, my brother, by name in the name. Blessed to be.
Yeah.
Blessed to be.
Yeah, that sounds about
news,
right to me.
The good news of today, Senator Conor O'Day is dead, and electric cars are the best thing to ever hit the fucking planet, and I'm going to tell you why, Nate, brothers and sisters. It's a blessing. The electric cars are the biggest blessing in the world. It goes to show how much the country can fuck their own people, and it's excellent. Two things on this issue. One, it's fucking up every car maker in the planet. Electric cars have got the market so fucking twisted, there ain't no helping it. It's self-fucking. They fuck themselves, and I'm loving it. It's great. You got to be happy for this. When they actually fuck themselves, but wait a minute, we got to blame it on global warming. That's always a good way to fucking cop out and snake. No, fuck it. But the reality is, they right now, GM, the CEO of GM is saying now they had to stop production of this shit, go back to combustion engine. Ford's done already did it. Ford was way ahead of this game. But they're finding out these cars are fucking sitting. Nobody's buying them. Nobody's buying combustion engine either. The economy's so fucked up. Pickup trucks are called a lot rock. They got so many vehicles sitting on these lots, it's not moving. If that bitch don't get at least 36 miles to a fucking gallon, it's going to sit. So there you go. Anyway, Merry Christmas and praise the Lord and all that shit. So that's our getting for me.
But yeah, you look, I mean, we're talking about all these cities. You know, look at the list of the cities that are all the time at the top of the murder statistics. It's New York. It's Chicago. It's Baltimore. It's New Orleans. It's Houston. It's L.A. It's, you know,
You know why they tell you that bullshit? Do you know why that is, Mike? Do you know why they do that, the murder rates in these cities? They want more money. Remember when COVID came out, I need more respirators. I need 10 million fucking respirators so I can sell them on the black market. That's what it's all about. They want more money. They want the federal government to give out more money to them. And don't get it. Don't get it. You watch. With all this democratic control and shit, you fucking kick it out money all over the place. You wait till the end of this is over, once this election is over. You see what the fucking national debt looks like. It's a fucking robbery, rapage, pillage, fucking whatever you call it. It's fucking sad. Anyway, I'm done talking. All right, shut up.
You're done for the next 30 seconds, right?
Well, actually, 31 minutes before I go on here, so there you go.
But, yeah, I mean, look. These cities that, and I mean, you look at these cities, and I know for a fact how much.
By the way, as I'm speaking on this term, I'm fucking with you, Mike. Go ahead.
You know, I know for a fact of all the corruption that's down there in New Orleans, corruption in the police department that never really gets rooted out. You know. And it's like the NOPD is always corrupt and has always been corrupt and will always be corrupt, and they don't want to correct the shit, you know. And so, you know, and when you got that going on, how do you get that? Now, granted,
the murder statistics for New Orleans went down, but at one point, but that was only after, you know, Katrina happened, and all these people were being shipped over to Dallas and Houston and all points around the nation after Katrina. But after several years, it slowly crawled back up again.
So, yep.
Because they came back, you know?
Absolutely.
Look, I've been keeping stats on Chicago based on what's reported in three newspapers, Chicago Tribune, ABC 7, and Chicago Sun-Times. And here we go. I started Memorial Day because that's usually when you have a high tick of everything, everybody happy, barbecuing, and shooting guns. From Memorial Day 2020 up until just about a week ago, they have had 14,383 shots and 2,203 murders. Now, get this. Ain't no white police shot anybody. It goes against the popular narrative. No white cop has shot anyone out of that. Now what they going to do?
Yep. You know, and then
they're
going to
blame it on Donald Trump. They're blaming it on Donald Trump. That's what they're going to do.
That's exactly
you gotta,
it.
You got to remember this, Sarge. They don't want the cops shooting nobody. If the cops shoot them, they're down one target for their shooting.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You know, I really wish to God, I swear, if I could have the opportunity to trade the homicide rate of people killed by cops as opposed to people killed by other civilians, then I submit to you we would not have a homicide problem of any significance in the United States. I'd be happy to trade that rate for what we have now.
Yep. Absolutely. You know, and then we got, you know, cities like Albuquerque. Right now, I think this last year we had the highest murder rate that we've ever had, and it was 323 people. Well, that's nowhere near as big as Chicago, and that's one of the reasons why Albuquerque never gets listed, because it's not really one of the biggest cities. But, you know, even for Albuquerque, that's a lot. And we've got our liberal governor and our liberal mayor and all of our liberal senators and all that happy crap.
Well, I mean, it's the same.
And then you wonder why Elon Musk made his new, you know, his new Cybertruck bulletproof.
Well, yeah.
I think it was somebody was asked by it. They're like, "Why did you make it bulletproof? Why did you bother making it bulletproof?" And he just laughed and he was "Well, why not?" Apparently there's a need for it, man.
Look at where he's located. He's located in Austin, another Democrat-run, you know, city, right?
Right.
That's where Elon Musk is located, right outside of, right near Austin, Texas. So yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that NAACP, Sarge, put out travel warnings. It put out a travel warning for blacks traveling through the state of Missouri. Be extra careful because you stand a chance of being shot and killed by a white police. I shit you not. That's exactly what he said.
Oh,
he had one for the state of Florida. The same thing for the state of Florida. Now, what sense does it make for an organization to put something? Where is the goddamn ridicule? I mean, come on now. The ridicule should be all up and down the damn side of buildings.
Pianchi, they are desperate to keep black people on their plantation. They're fear-mongering. They're fear-mongering to keep black people on a rat plantation. That's what it is. And they're desperate now because more and more black people begin to see none of this adds up and makes sense. None of it fits any fact or logic. But they're desperate to retain that hold because they know the Democrat, the key to Democrat electoral success, solid block of the black vote in a neighborhood of 90% or better.
Yep.
And they can't risk losing it.
Well, you told me today.
They fear mongering to keep it.
You told me about the federal judge that came down with the decision that D.C. police can sue Donald Trump civilly.
Okay.
They tried to make the claim with Kyle Rittenhouse across the state line.
Okay.
But nobody says anything about Maxine Waters going from California all the way to the Minnesota, exciting riots and shit. Well, why come she's not being sued? Why come she's not being called to the table? Why come not she's not being ethically punished? She's using that damn black privilege that the politicians have.
I know, guys, I know it was a local happening down there in Atlanta, Fulton County, you know, when all those people showed up, all those black people showed up to in support of Trump at the time, but that probably scared the shit out of them when they, it's a local issue, but if that happens all over the place, if that happens kind of all over the place and people show up, I mean, people are making big deals about the possibility in these polls that these polls may be true that 25% of the African-American vote could go to Trump, right? I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but that's what some of these polls are saying, right? And it's like,
well, I was just saying that there was like a BLM leader, I can't remember what state, but a BLM leader, a Black Lives Matter leader in one of the states I saw, I'll have to look it up, is endorsing Trump and saying Democrats no longer represent us. They are doing us a disservice. He's like, we need to abandon the Democrat Party because, you know, they're creating more problems for us than anybody else. And it's like, so it's like when you even have a Black Lives Matter leader, you know, coming out and saying this, like wising up to the truth, then that gives me a little bit of hope. You know, like, Democrats have been fucking you guys for a long time without lube. You know, and it's about time you start to wake up and realize it.
It is said that somebody would need is about 15% of the African American vote to go for them, rather than Democrats going from 95% maybe to about 80, you know, for the Democrats, you know, the election would be over with, and the Democrats would be stomped into the ground because of that vote. I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I'm just saying that's what they say. Now, if the polls are correct and it's 26% or 25% of the African American vote, and at some points they say 40%+ of the Hispanic vote is going to go for Trump. There ain't no form of cheating that's going to get them past that. If those percentages are even close to being true, there is no form of cheating that's going to get them past that. You know, that's the problem the Democrats have. I mean, we're seeing the push polling. We're seeing – we know what kind of polling we're seeing. But the people at MSNBC and CNN and all these other places, New York Times, they're seeing what I call the internal polling. How much you want to bet that the internal polling on these matters is worse than what we're actually seeing?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, by the way, did you guys see
the reception that Donald Trump got at the South Carolina Clemson game? Did you see it?
Yes,
now, look,
I did.
Folks, now, I noticed all the mainstream press tried to spin it. They told the literal truth and lied by telling the literal truth. They said that Donald Trump was greeted with a mixture of cheers and boos, which is basically true. The problem for their reporting is that the boos were overwhelmingly drowned out by the tumultuous positive reception, cheering and clapping. Yeah, he got some boos, but I would say if I was going to give it a scale on the relative meter of sound, I'd give 90% approval, 10% boos and disapproval. It was tumultuous. Everybody, the people on the sidelines, the cheerleaders, the football players, they were jumping up and down saying, yay, Trump, yay, both football teams.
Yep.
Everybody in the stadium, it looked like, was happy to see Trump there.
Yeah.
Yep.
You see this? They're desperate. They're doing the best to mislead. Yeah, okay, he got a mixture of cheers and boos. That is literally true. It is also a matter of wonderful press lying by deception. They lied by telling the literal truth.
Oh, yeah, and imagine what they would do if it was Biden that walked in there instead of Trump. You know that overwhelmingly there would be a hell of a lot more boos than there would be cheering, and the media would spin it that, you know, oh, Biden got, you know, positive reception, and, you know, everybody was welcoming him. They wouldn't mention any of the boos, you know, just like...
Yeah, Let's go,
yeah, that's
Brandon.
That's like how they tried to filter out the, you know, let's go Brandon, you know.
let's go Brandon they tried to filter out when that reporter said it was fuck Joe Biden. That's what
it
was.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, that too. That too. You know, you have a whole crowd chanting that, and then the reporters are like, you know,
this isn't, and what makes this even more, what happened at the Clemson game even more thing is, who's from South Carolina? Who's running against Trump? Who's from South Carolina? Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley.
Nikki.
There you go.
I just brought him on with Skype callers.
Yeah, Nikki, I mean, Nikki Haley, man, the ineligible one, the identical Republican doppelganger to Kamala Harris, another ineligible running for president, and nobody wants to try to challenge it.
Yeah.
To see what the courts might say about it.
Oh, yeah, those courts. Yeah. They're real.
He's on your chili dogs.
By the way, Trump now is ineligible because of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, but Nikki Haley is not ineligible because of Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of that same document. This is unbelievable.
That Constitution.
And, you know, even a judge in Colorado said, oh, well, Trump is guilty of insurrection, but Section 3 does not apply to the president.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, well, these people are too much.
We're all guilty.
The thing, too. The thing, too. Is,
oh, hey, Sarge. I've been meaning, sorry to interrupt, but Sarge, remember when we were having this conversation a couple of weeks ago about Vivek Ramaswamy? And
yes.
I looked up, you know, his lineage, and I do stand corrected by you. And the reason why I was confused was because early on, more early on in his campaign, he kept saying, you know, talking about how his parents immigrated here and how they had to take the civics test to get their citizenship and blah, blah, blah. But as time went on, more of the truth came out, and you were right. He was already born here before they got their citizenship. only his mom actually took the citizenship and got citizenship, but his father didn't. I looked more into that. I told you that I would, because I wasn't sure if I was right on it, but it's only because I started following how the more he was interviewed about his parents, the more enlightening, you know, he was in detailing it. But apparently his father never actually did take the civics test, like he was saying early on in his campaign. He kept saying over and over again, both his parents came here, you know, and they had to go through go through everything and legally become citizens and take the test and blah, blah, blah. Everybody should have to take their test, you know, because he's pushing for the 18 to 25-year-olds to either take a civics test or do 6 months of, like, coming? You know, military or first responder type of thing. And so it's like, but now it turns out that he was really only telling half the story, and he was born here before his parents were actually citizens. So you were right about Vivek on that. So I wanted to give you a shout out on that.
And another thing, but most critically, Larry, as you just pointed out, let's make it clear, he left out his birthplace in the chronology of the story of his parents' immigration and one of them getting naturalized. They came in between. His birth was in between the immigration to the country and one of his parents becoming naturalized. That's the problem. They were legally resident. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They were legally resident, but he is a 13th Amendment long-term citizen, exactly like Kamala Harris is, exactly like Nikki Haley is. They are not Article 1, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 eligible to be president, because both of their parents were not citizens at the time they emerged from the birth canal.
Oh, my.
Neither one of them was. They were, yes, they were here legally on their visas or whatever, but neither one of them was actually a citizen when Vivek was born.
That's
absolutely
correct.
So, yeah, I stand corrected, and I'm glad that you pointed that out. And I wasn't sure. I wasn't arguing with you about it very much. I was like, you know, I got to look into this, because based on what, you know, because all I had to go on was based on what he was saying earlier in his campaign that I'd heard. And it was very misleading.
5 years from now, we'll know who he is.
Very misleading on his part.
It is. Because he knows there's a problem with it. He knows the issue has not been directly decided upon by any Supreme Court decision. So he knows the issue is up in the air, and most of these people just ignore it, and they are, in fact, nervous about it because they don't know what the court might rule. Hell, I don't know what the court might rule. All I know is what the framers of the Constitution at the time understood a natural-born citizen to be. And since that requisite statute has not been modified by anything since, that original understanding should be the one still extant today. Until it is modified by another amendment, that is the one that should stand, the one that the framers understood it to be in 1787.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are we citizens?
Well, hell, Louisiana just had a election for sheriff in Candel Parish with over 43,000 votes, and the winner won by one vote. 43,000 votes cast. They done a recount, and both candidates picked up three votes each, still allowing the one sheriff to win by one vote.
Yeah.
He's a Democrat.
Okay, that explains it. Okay, there you go. That's all I need to know.
So, and here's the deal. Here's the deal, Sarge. Here's the deal. Think about this. When Obama was running, there was always the birth certificate and all that stuff with him. He too was never Article 2 guy, you know, because his mama was a citizen, but his dad never wanted to be a citizen. In fact, his dad went back to Africa.
Wait a minute,
you know?
His dad was here illegally, but he wasn't even here on a resident visa. He was here on a student visa.
Yep.
Yep.
And that, that's if you believe that Barack Obama Sr. was actually his father. I don't necessarily believe it. It is entirely possible that his father could have been an American citizen, which would mean he is, in fact, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, eligible. But the problem is, we are supposed to have to take him at his word, since he's given us a counterfeit birth certificate. We can't rely on anything on it because it's a counterfeit. So what do we have to rely upon? Nothing except his word, which, again, is suspect. So I don't know what his citizenship is.
Right.
I've seen nothing to rely upon.
There was always rumors that his father was not Barack Obama Sr., but it was Frank Marshall Davis.
Yeah.
You know?
Ironically, if that is true, that means he is a natural-born citizen. That's what's so ironic about it. Here's what I think might have happened, because remember, his literary press agent, when he wrote that book, Dreams of My Father, put out a brochure in which, you know, when they always do, they take whatever the author tells them, and they put out that information in the press release. And they put out a brochure. I got it on my computer. I got a copy of it on my computer. And it says in the press release, he was born in Kenya. Now, that stood for 14 years. Between 8 and 14 years, that stood unchanged until he decided to run for president. And then they went back and scrubbed it out and changed it. Now, I don't know what the story is about this guy. All I know is that in official literature approved by him, because remember, when they write that stuff, they ask the author if this is correct before they publish it. And then when people started questioning about the press release, the person wrote and said, it was just a mistake. See, here's what he was doing, I think. I think he was trying, he knew his audience was a lot of goofy suburban white women. And I think he thought they might have appreciated the fact that he was some sort of exotic son of a goat herder from Kenya. And when you talk about liberal women in Hyde Park and Chicago, they're the kind of doofuses who fall for that crap. And I think he was playing to that in order to enhance his image as some sort of exotic species come to America that appeals to these goofy white women.
Yeah.
And then when he decided to run for president, he says, oh, Lord, I'm making myself ineligible. If I'm born in Kenya and my mother wasn't even old enough, according to the Immigration and Naturalization Act that was extant time, if he was born in Kenya, even though his mother was a natural-born American citizen, she was not old enough under the Immigration and Naturalization Act to transmit her United States citizenship onto her son.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't even be a U.S. citizen if he was born in Kenya, unlike Ted Cruz, who was born to a mother who was of age. Now, Ted Cruz is a citizen because not the 14th Amendment, had nothing to do with it because he was born in Canada. Ted Cruz is a United States citizen because of the Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1953. That's why he is. His mother transmitted her American citizenship onto him under the auspices of that act. If Barack Obama was born in Kenya, his 16-year-old mother could not have legally transmitted her citizenship onto her son. That means he's an illegal alien.
Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to break in here, but we've got like 5 minutes left before the live part of the show ends, and if you're not on the phone, you will lose the show. So anybody who's not on the phone can call in, and we'll be heading into the third hour pretty quick.
Yeah. Hey, Sarge, you know that there was Jefferson had dyed his papers and had been published, and they found the word nullification when Madison used the word interposition. In the Virginia Resolution, Jefferson had used the word nullification. The South Carolinians claimed that every state had the right to nullify any federal law, all right, including opting out any time the state pleased. You ever hear about that one?
Yeah, John C. Calhoun made the same argument in his Kentucky resolution. Are you familiar
Henry
with those?
Clay.
What?
Henry
and
Clay.
John
they
C.
lost
Calhoun.
It. They lost it though in 1832 behind behind the scene, of course, you know. But was their concern of preserving slavery and the ability to do their own thing, you know, on all issues
right.
concerning slavery.
Andrew Jackson threatened to hang John C. Calhoun and Henry Clay.
You know, Gibson, that's true.
What's that?
Technically, that's true. States do have the right to nullify a federal law that they don't think is constitutional.
Yeah, but the federal government has the power to control and regulate trade between the states.
How's the federal? Well, let me ask you something. I mean, let's think about this. How in the hell is the federal government going to stop you from going to the next states and buying a carton of cigarettes or buying a gallon of milk? They can't do that. Here's the thing, Joe, and I'm going to call you a young man here. You got to stop being afraid of this entity called the federal government. The power lies within you as the people of a state. I mean, I know you don't went through some shit in your life. Absolutely, you have. But we can't let...
I'm not afraid of the government.
I'm not talking about you directly, but we know so many people are because of ignorance.
No, you know what I'm afraid of? Actually, you know what? You're right, but on both sides of the coin. Because the states and themselves... What happens, you know, if you get a rogue state that doesn't govern you, that governs, you know, tyrannical? What do you do then? If the federal government can't step in, now what do we do?
Maybe the adjacent states should step in.
Well, wait a minute, but the states are forbidden to violate the Constitution because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. That would be a basis intervention when and if the states are not providing a Republican form of government, because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. That means the federal government and the states are obligated to honor its dictates.
And you're absolutely right. Just look at the deal in Arkansas. When the citizens was being denied their constitutional rights, then the federal government did step in with the taking over of the National Guard.
Well, the Constitution was not to be considered independently of the purpose which it was designed to serve. The Constitution acts to guard the principles enshrined in the Declaration of Independence. As the embodiment of the Declaration principles, the Constitution created a frame of government with a clear objective. The Constitution is not a collection of compromises or an empty vessel, you know.
Well, that's
exactly
what we're saying. That's exactly what we're saying.
But obviously some compromises need to be made in order for states to ratify it, though. I mean, a lot of compromises had to be made because not even our founders agreed on everything. They debated all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Well, you absolutely
right. Let's take a look at what happened in Little Rock in 1957 when the state of Arkansas denied the constitutional rights of the Little Rock Nine to attend a public high school for which their parents were being taxed. And a federal court ruled that the Constitution of the United States was being violated, and therefore Eisenhower, to his great reluctance, but he felt in his integrity as chief executive officer of the federal government, he had to order federal troops in the Little Rock to ensure that these kids could go to school. It didn't have anything to do with the state usurping power. I mean, the federal government usurping power from the states. The states were usurping the rights of citizens within their state. And remember, the Constitution says it's the supreme law of the land over and above every other entity of government, state or federal. So in that respect, when that sort of thing happens, then the federal government does have a duty to step in and contravene what the state actions are.
Well, what about the Harper's Ferry? Is like in October 1859, accompanied by a group of 20 men, John Brown moved forward in his plan to start an armed slave insurrection by seizing a United States
Arsenal.
That was
an insurrection. I mean, clearly, look, I might sympathize with his heart, but in my mind, it is clearly an insurrection, and the federal government has every duty and obligation to respond to an insurrection.
And Robert E. Lee went in
and
there.
And by the way,
broke.
You got to remember, people who are enslaved at that time had no constitutional rights that the federal government was obligated to uphold.
Let me ask you a question. If the United States, be not a government proper, but an association of states in the nature of contract, merely can it, as a contract, be peaceably unmade by less than all the parties who made it?
Well, that's an unsettled question. See, Joe, you just laid bare the current dilemma we're in now. The Civil War did not settle the issue as to whether or not a state has a right to secede. It did not. It did not. A lot of people think that it, but it's not what it did. Nobody was convicted of treason or anything else with regard to the Civil War. The federal government decided to quietly drop the issue in the spirit of reconciliation because nothing in the Constitution, I defy you to find it. I've read it, looking through it a dozen times, trying to find it. There is nothing in the Constitution. There's nothing in the Constitution that forbids secession. Not a word.
No.
The only thing
that's
even close to it is it forbids states to enter into a confederation.
But
that's only, that's only while they're in the Union. If they secede from the Union, then the Constitution doesn't apply to them.
Well, what about the Articles of Association in 1774?
But that was before the Constitution. The Constitution upended all of that. Then the Constitution became free on the land over and above the Articles of Confederation and anything that had been passed prior to it. It superseded everything else.
Well, violation of the Constitution, well, wait a minute now. So in a matter of national issue in that the property of the United States was taken outside of due process of law. Hang on a second. So wait a second. It follows from these views that no state upon the own mere motion can lawfully get out of the Union, that resolves and ordinances to that effect are legally void, and that acts of violence within any state or states against the authority of the United States or insurrectionary on revolutionary according to circumstances. That's what it says.
Okay, that could be considered part of the common law, were not for the ratification of the Constitution later. And I say again, the purpose of the Constitution was to say what government is not allowed to do. Now, remember that. Anything that is not made specifically illegal is legal. It has to be made specifically illegal by some sort of act, statute, article, or amendment. There is nothing the Constitution that forbids a state to secede. I defy you to find it.
Article 4, Section 4, is it, of the Constitution, maybe? Wait a minute. What's this one?
I'm
United States shall
now.
Guarantee
Tell me
on.
Where it is.
Hang on. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against the invasion and on applications of the legislator or of the executive when the legislator cannot be convened against domestic violence.
Okay.
Right?
Joe, look at what you just read. Look at what you just read. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this Union when a state through an act of its legislature secedes from the Union, it isn't in the Union anymore. That doesn't apply to it.
And that invasion only applies to the national borders, not the state borders. But it can.
It can. It can. But the point of it is the Civil War did not settle the issue. I remember I had an argument with a constitutional attorney about this,
He was one of the better constitution attorneys in the state. I used to always go to him when I had a question about the Constitution because he argued five cases for the Illinois Supreme Court. He won every one of them. They pitched on federal and state issues. And we would argue back and forth all the time about this. And he finally was reluctantly forced to agree with me that no, nothing in the Constitution forbids secession, but he said it could be implied from the body of the whole Constitution. And he said, I know that's a weak argument, Sarge, but that's all I can go with now. And remember, he was a constitutional attorney who regularly argued cases before the Illinois Supreme Court, and he worked with Cook County as a constitutional lawyer. So I'm saying it's not clear that doesn't have the right to secede. That has yet to be directly ruled on by the Supreme Court. They had one case that impinged upon it. It was called Texas versus White, but it had to do with pensions. Pensions, not with whether or not the state has the right to secede.
And you talk about Harper's failure. Harper's Ferry. Harper's Ferry, that magazine was government-owned. It's one of three properties that's listed in the Constitution that the federal government can own. And that was put down by First Lieutenant Israel Green and Colonel of all, Robert E. Lee.
Robert E. Lee. That's right. There was a whole lot of future civil. Jeb Stuart was there. I think Phil Sheridan was there. Sherman was there. There was a whole lot of future Civil War leaders that came to put down that insurrection at Harper's Ferry. Look, I understand John Brown's impulse. Let's face it. He was fanatical. He was a bit of a nut. But let's face it. He was irresolutely opposed to slavery. But what he did was illegal, unconstitutional, and an insurrection. The federal government had no choice but to respond to it.
He should have took heed from Frederick Douglass when he tried to get Frederick Douglass to participate in it. Frederick Douglass said, hell no, basically, and told him he was suicidal. He also went to Harriet Tubman.
Crazy.
And Harriet Tubman was
ill. I'll tell you one thing.
She didn't want to have nothing to do with it either.
I know. But you got to give Von Braun, he was resolute. He was absolutely committed to the destruction of slavery. He did not believe in any half measures. And for that, I admire him. But even though I admire him for that stand, at least that dedication to it, he was also murderous. He murdered people in the pursuit of ridding the country of slavery. And he was an absolute fanatic. That's also true of him. So he was a contradictory character. It's really interesting to read about his life story. I think it's one of the more interesting life stories in the history of the United States. And I would urge all of you to acquaint yourselves with it.
Well, you know, that insurrection was preceded in the Revolutionary War when the Lawthers, the black Lawthers, they was promised to be taken back to Africa. And I always forget the Lord's name that was in charge. But they
Lord Dunmore, the Dunmore Regiment.
Dunmore Regiment. They took them to Nova Scotia. But you had two black leaders. One name was Colonel T, and the other name was Boston King. They came down the eastern shore line, raiding plantation, killing the white owners, and that's how they got their group of slaves as a contingency.
Well, look what they said here. This is what they said right here. This is right. It says, this is a Civil War. We can only act in the case with a view to national self-preservation. We can suspend the writ of habeas corpus only in the case of extreme emergency. That alone, which will justify this, the health of the people should be the supreme law. And is this a crisis of such awful moment? It is necessary at this time to constitute a dictatorship to save the people from themselves and to take care that the republic shall receive a no detriment. What is the proposition? They said to create a single dictator as in ancient Rome in whom all power shall vest it for a time? No, to create one great dictator and a multitude and army of a petty despots to invest in not only the President of the United States, but the governors of the states and the territories, and indeed all persons deriving civil or military authority from the supreme executive, with unlimited and irresponsible power over the personal liberty of your citizens. That's powerful.
Yeah,
right,
well,
there.
Joe, you got to remember that Abraham Lincoln declared martial law in Washington, D.C. and Delaware, or Maryland, because the riots there were impeding troop movements. So he declared martial law in both martial law. Huh?
Should habeas corpus ever be suspended?
Yeah, he suspended habeas corpus, yes. Yes, he suspended habeas corpus. He declared martial law. When you declare martial law, all the constitutional rights are suspended for the duration of the martial law period.
Well,
I know. Remember, the United States did the same thing to the territory of Hawaii when Pearl Harbor was bombed. From then almost to the end of the war, the territories of Hawaii were governed by martial law.
Well, you know, you talk about Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln only took refuge of those slaves that sought refuge behind the Union lines. At the end of the war, he let them go. It's misconceived that he freed them, but no, they were still property of somebody. And to go to show you how intricate it was, he had no authority over the Indians. Indians are listed in the Constitution as sovereign nations. They didn't release their slaves until starting in April of 1866, and they put stipulations on it. They said this: you got to pay us for our property, in which the federal government did. The last payment went, I think, to the Choctaws like in 1952 or 1956. $350,000 to that tribe.
Yeah, and by the way, guys, just to let you know, Lincoln went to Congress and got an act of Congress, and it was called the Habeas Corpus Suspension Act that authorized him to suspend habeas corpus and also to maintain political prisoners. Because, again, the Bryans were impeding troop movements to the front. Protesters were preventing the movement of troops through D.C. and Maryland.
It was Proclamation
93. And the situation at the front was dire. It was dire.
So if that happened, what happens in America now? Just take, for instance, now. Boy, you remember that video I played for you last night there, that 37-minute video, outlined exactly how we can take back this republic, how the republic was lost, and how the only way we can get it back lawfully. In other words, we have parallel governments operating right now.
Well, what you need to do is one step to the ultimatum would be to amend the U.S. Constitution.
The Convention of the States is not going to solve the problem, Bianca. It won't solve it.
They're going to amend the Constitution.
It's
That's
too dangerous, man. That's too dangerous. Right now, Ohio, what do you got, 20 states now, right?
Well, then we need to get the rest of them. We need to get 14 more.
And what are you amending? What are you trying to amend? You don't have to amend anything. The Republic is there, Bianca.
You're going to have to go to the website and look what they're proposing. That already has been proposed by 19 states.
No, 20. 20.
What will we be amending? Okay, here's what will be amended. Remove the income tax, you know, remove the Federal Reserve, remove all of that shit. Those things are fundamentally unconstitutional and contradictory. There's absolutely no freaking way that we should have it's the 16th Amendment, right, that authorizes the income tax. That's something that the Convention of States needs to take up. In addition to amending the Constitution to make the Federal Reserve completely null and void, that's what needs to be done. I mean, there's a lot of different things that need to be done. And, yeah, it's dangerous to amend our Constitution, but at the same time, it is dangerous not to because of what has been allowed. things that should have never been allowed to be incorporated into our Constitution.
But we have the Northwest Ordinance.
It's not like adding to it. It's more like revoking the shit that's been added to the Constitution that fundamentally undermines the original intent of it. Did I explain that right, Pianchi? Maybe not.
Oh, yes, you did. It's been done before. I mean, we got rid of slavery. We got rid of prohibition. So it's not like it hasn't been done
before.
That's
why we're in the mess we're in, the Act of 1871, that's the Civil War you're talking about. Yeah, that's why we're in the mess we're in. We're all 14th Amendment slaves right now.
Yeah, but unfortunately, depending on your point of view, the 14th Amendment is accepted as a legitimate part of the Constitution.
Not abuse, sorry.
There's no way we can get around it now, Joe.
Yes, there is. The Republic has never been. It's still there. The seats are still vacant.
How do we get around the fact that the courts and 99.95% of the public see the 14th Amendment as legitimately ratified? How do we get around that?
Sarge, we almost did it in 2010 where we filled all the seats almost all the way up. I'm telling you, it can be done.
I don't think it's going to be done. I just don't. I think if you start talking about you're going
to
say
you
the first amendment
thing we
is going
to about
be improperly ratified and we're going
to
disregard it as though it doesn't exist, that would cause some of the biggest outcry ever, even more so than when prohibition was adopted.
Sarge, you didn't pay attention at all when we did those Republic shows, did you? I cannot believe it. You have all
Look, I'm all for revisiting the issue. My view is simply not going to prevail today. It just isn't. I kind of wish it would, but it's just not. People say it was legitimately adopted. It was a good thing. It was good for the country. It made black citizens equal, even if it was adopted unconstitutionally. I'm sorry, it's just the way that we're stuck with it right now. What we have to get people back to is a proper understanding of the mechanisms for amending the Constitution. So then maybe people would be willing to revisit it with a new understanding of the methods of modifying the Constitution by amendment. It just ain't going to apply.
We
got birthright citizenship, by the way. And we got birthright citizenship because some Supreme Court justice made a fucking footnote in another case. A footnote in Pryor versus Doe. And this is what gives us birthright citizenship. Now, is that legitimate? Hell no. But we're stuck with it right now.
The three proposals that have been agreed upon by the 19 states is...
I thought it was 20 states.
No.
So Ohio isn't on board?
Ohio is just about there. You got term limits. You got physical restraint. And physical restraints, that is a balanced budget. And also overreach of the federal government, like this thing about federal government owning lands within the states where the Constitution don't allow that. The term limits that's been proposed is that a congressperson have 9 two-year terms. A U.S. senator has, let's see, 6, 12, 18, 3 terms. That's 18 years. No federal official shall serve for longer than 24 years, and that even applies to government workers.
How is that going to fix anything?
Well, Joe, how are we restoring lawful government
like that?
I understand what you're saying, but see, your questions can be answered with you yourself. You need to get together a group of people that can go to your state legislature in your state and then make these proposals. We can't ridicule the other people in these other states for what they've
done.
That's
my problem right there. What you guys are doing is going to affect us.
Joe Gibson, your problem lies within that which you can change. You can't go into Mississippi or Louisiana. Don't come to Louisiana trying to tell them what they're doing is wrong. You got to work.
We're a union. We are a union. You can't do it. It's not going to work out. I'm telling you.
Well, you had we had unions in those states. We have 43,000 members in the state of Louisiana, and the state of Louisiana legislature bought into, signed on to the proposals.
Okay, Bianchi, what constitution are you amending? There's two constitutions.
Oh, when that time comes, we'll come to you and ask you which one you will be amending.
Wait a minute, there's two constitutions now. So which one are we going to amend?
Yeah, there's the Constitution of the United States,
and
there's a Constitution
other than the one that was ratified
for the United States. You got to pick one.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what is the other Constitution other than the one that was ratified in 1787 at the Constitutional Convention? What is the other?
The Civil War. We divided. Whoop. There's two different parallel governments operating.
That's a historical event. What is the other
constitution
that was created?
No. Washington, D.C. operates now under a corporate, and there's a de jure, and there's a de facto now. Nope.
What happens if all the people in Washington, D.C. decide to leave? What are they going to do, go arrest them and bring them back?
Good.
What happens if all the people in South Carolina decide to leave? What you going to do?
You have a republic that's standing by, waiting. Right now you have a parallel government right now.
Joe, what I'm asking you, you in South Carolina or North Carolina? You in
North Carolina.
I posed a question about North Carolina. If all the people decide to leave, what you going to do to them?
What do you mean? Well, they can leave if they want to.
All right. Then you wake up the next morning, there's nobody but Soul Joe Gibson in the whole state of North Carolina.
No, you can't say that. Come on. What if I wake up online when I'm all by myself and I got 12 women with me? Oh, come on. What's that guy's story is this? It's not going to happen.
When you say there's two constitutions,
you know what I think could happen?
Allow you to
with the way
that?
Our government stands right now, what could happen is our federal government would impose a new tax on anybody that is leaving their current state to go and reside in another state. As it stands right now, that's where we're at. Like, literally, our federal government, our senators and our Congress could go, we're going to impose, a higher income tax for, let's say, 5 years after somebody leaves the state. You leave your state of residence, you go to another one, we're going to impose a five-year penalty tax for you leaving. Right now, that's how unconstitutional our government is.
Your representatives that you vote for.
Yeah.
They're going to do that to you. Or should I say you're going to let them do that to you?
Well, isn't California trying to do that?
And there's idiots that would actually say, yeah. And you know who would do it? Probably California would do it first. California
I think they're
would
already
push
trying.
For it first.
Yeah.
Everybody's freaking leaving California and going
have.
To other states. And the mayor pushing the federal government to go, maybe we should have a tax on these people. So that we don't lose all that revenue.
But you know what happens?
Well, the federal government hangs a lot of this interstate authority.
What happened when
the federal government hangs a lot of this interstate authority on the fact that it can regulate interstate commerce? But right now, the only power they have interstate is to regulate commerce. Now, I don't know how they're going to stretch people migrating who are citizens from one state to another into some kind of commerce. Although, now that I think about it, I just figured out a way they might try to do it.
Look up Dun & Bradstreet. Look up Dun & Bradstreet. The United States Corporation.
They'll do it. Just how they regulate the migration of illegals.
They don't.
And give me an example.
What did you think of that video last night?
Give me an example of the federal government regulating the trade between two states. You in one state, Sarge, and I'm in another, and I want to take you over 5 bushels of apples, and you want to give me 2 bushels of corn. How are they going to regulate that?
They'll send inspectors over to get them and seize them from you or do whatever they got to do.
Legal marijuana.
That's how the federal government is
controlling legal marijuana. I mean, right now, Oregon, once again, we grew way too much pot than we could possibly consume, and yet we cannot export it to other legal states. That's how the federal government gets involved.
Well, you know what?
And they will literally, in the states where it's illegal, they will pull over trucks that are transporting the cash to the banks that will accept them. That's how they're controlling it. Since it's a cash only, there's only certain banks that are willing to deposit it. And so literally, states like Oregon, you know, they actually truck out the cash money to deposit it in banks out of state, like Colorado or something that will accept their money. And if that truck is going in a state where it's illegal, they set up stings. They pull those trucks over. They qualify immunity, all that shit, you know, and confiscate that money, and
the
top businesses lose it. That's how the federal government, just look at legal pot. That's all you got to do. That's how they're regulating interstate commerce. We are not allowed to export our surplus.
That is one of the issues about federal overreach. That's one of the proposals that has passed. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to say this real quick. If people don't want to do this, don't do it. But here's the point. What's the use? Everything you come up with, somebody say the federal government can shoot you or cut your head off. Then what is the
use? U.S. Supreme Court in Texas versus White in 1869, after the Civil War ended, a state could only succeed by approval of the House and Senate plus ratification of 3/4 of the state legislature, which is nearly impossible. Succeeding is considered insurrection. So you can't. You can't.
If states decide to secede, yes, the legislature would have to vote to do so. Well, it's not going to take one person. It's not going to take just the governor and say, okay, we go.
Yep.
Let's just forget it. I mean, if people don't agree or don't want to take, well, leave it alone.
Well, we got to preserve the union, and you know, you got to preserve the union.
No, you don't have to preserve a union. It's about like preserving a family, a marriage, and the wife and husband split up. Now, what happens to the family? They gonna go their separate ways,
printing their own currencies, and we're gonna end up like Europe.
Well,
I mean.
Rate we're going, we probably will.
I think New York does allow you to have their own currency. I'm not sure. One of these states do. You come up to you work out your own means is what would happen.
You do know, Joe, that Texas versus White had to do with whether or not bonds sold by the state of Texas while they were a Confederate state had any effect on whether or not the United States government had to honor those bonds. That's what brought Texas versus White to the attention of the Supreme Court. The ruling that they made was really narrowly focused around that issue.
And to be precise, the Supreme Court don't make laws. They give opinions on arguments between two or more parties. That's it. You don't even have to abide by it.
What they said was, Joe, regarding that narrowly construed issue, that the state of Texas had no right of secession that would affect their bonds. So it was really narrowly decided. It really didn't decide the big issue as to whether or not a state had a constitutional right to secede from the Union, because, again, the Constitution doesn't say anything about it.
Well, after Lincoln was assassinated, you know, it never happened. We never went back to a constitutional republic. You know, so we were set. So the martial law and executive order government was enacted, you know, without a vote by the House or Senate or states or the people during the Civil War. But we're still under that technically today. That has to be addressed first before we do even do anything.
Isn't that the Act of 1867 that we're talking about? Did I get the year right?
1865.
Yeah.
But that's when he was assassinated. But yeah, it was Act 1871.
Well, a lot of things after the Civil War happened wasn't legal anyway. The 13th and 14th Amendment wasn't properly.
Yeah, but we have to address that first, Bianchi.
That's up to Congress too. But the people, if they don't want to abide or they don't want to be part of, they got a right not to be part of it. Just like we went to war with England when the king didn't like it that those 13 colonies didn't want to pay him taxes no more. We talk about
they were willing to pay taxes. They weren't going to have their taxes hideously increased unless they had representation in Parliament to help decide the issue. That was their beef.
And without hindrance on governing their own policies. And, you know, England, King of England wanted to start dictating all the policies in the colonies and also increase their taxes, which was definitely a conflict of interest. It's like, okay, you're going to collect all these taxes, but it's not really for us, and you're going to dictate to us what we can do, all of that. But you know what? All of these arguments that we're talking about, I would rather do a convention of states first, something that we have not done and we should do. Before, you know, because I think if we don't do that, then the end result, I still believe, is America is going to break up into at least four countries, probably more like five or six different countries, and they'll be kind of like a European Union, but it'll be a American Union kind of a thing. I think ultimately that's what the end result will be, because we're going to have so many differences. We're so different in how things are. The West is going to be its own country. The South will be its own country. The Midwest will be its own country. The East will be its own country. I mean, you know, like that's the future we're looking at if we abandon the concept of a convention state to reel shit back in and be able to limit government so that the federal government has less overreach, has less power, and giving back, you know, taking back, not giving back, taking back the power of the state that we have so foolishly given up.
If we're not going to address
more and more and more, we foolishly gave up our state sovereignty and given it over to the federal government way too much. And this is where we're at right now. And I think that's the reality. And we're all just kind of bickering about the solutions to it. But I think at the very least, we need a convention of states. We have to try that. You know, we have to try convention of states to correct all of these wrongs, the United States united again, and give back our state sovereignty again, our personal freedoms again, you know, all of it. Because if we don't, then we will break up. There is absolute, that is our future.
We will no longer
be a United States. We will be a European Union. And that's
exactly
what the one world government wants.
We don't address the U.S. corporation, the fact that after Lincoln's assassination, President Johnson kept the corporate system and built it upon the 14th Amendment, which was unlawfully passed by the corporate Congress in 1868 to explain the citizenship of black men, but instead it changed citizen of the United States to U.S. citizen, which affected everyone in violation of the Constitution. U.S. citizen now usurped state citizenship for the first time in American history. So we have to go back and address that.
Yep.
Only Congress can address the 14th and 13th Amendment. That has to come first, wouldn't it?
Well, not necessarily. We could amend the Constitution to restore the original order of United States citizenship, which was, first of all, you are accepted as a citizen of a state, and once any of the states adopted you as a citizen of their state, then you are a citizen of the United States. The 14th Amendment reversed that. We can get the amendment to bring it back to the original understanding, and then much of the objections that Joe is talking about could be diminished.
Yeah, because we're U.S. citizens. I mean, it's crazy, man. You know, that we're,
and the 14th Amendment turned all that around.
Yes.
But
well,
you know why that was? That
citizen.
Was because the Democrats in the old Confederacy would not recognize newly freed slaves as citizens. So they put that in the 14th Amendment to force the Confederate states to accept the newly freed slaves as citizens.
Yeah. Yeah, and now all people within the United States became slaves to the corporation with the people used as collateral as the nation's debt. All states and counties were required to become incorporated now in order to have dealings with the government of the United States. Congress did not lawfully vote for any of this now, none of it.
Well, Joe, you know I'm not so sure that is true, but if it is true, then reversing the citizenship arrangement to the original order would certainly diminish many of your concerns, would it not?
Yeah,
so
and getting rid of the Federal Reserve.
Who would protect you from foreign invasions?
Well, you have to have your state militia, among other things, because the federal government's duty is to protect us from invasion. Article 4 says that's the federal government's job. The federal government has to guarantee each of the states a Republican form of government and protect them from invasion.
All right, so if you want to pull away from the federal government, now you're going to have the state of North Carolina go up against the China?
But you got the debt now. In 1871, the debt of the United States, it could not be paid to the international bankers. The bankers had funded both sides of the war now. The bankers proposed in an agreement between the Vatican City of London and the United States District of Columbia, okay? The only three city-states in the world, okay, they're a little banker agreement with the Act of 1871 that nobody's supposed to know about.
All right. So, well, let's say you tell the bankers we ain't going to pay you. What the bankers are going to do?
Well, then, I don't know. We'll look like assholes around the world. And, you know.
It already exists with the
nobody
IRS.
Nobody will do business with it.
If they figure that after 10 years they can't collect the debt that they say you owe them, then they declare it default.
The whole world will collapse, Bianchi. The whole world will collapse then because the United States pretty much funds everything.
Well, then that would be a good deal then. That answers the whole question. You try to convince the states that that don't work. The people that say we ain't gonna pay.
If the United States actually falters, all of these countries that we've been giving foreign aid to and money to for decade after decade after decade, will they step up to the plate and help us out?
Hell no.
Well, you know,
that's a really good question.
Well, you see, common law was changed to maritime law. You know, that Act of 1871 created a new separate corporate government. That you know resides obviously in District of Columbia, and they did this without the authority of Congress. They committed an act of treason against the inhabitants of our republic at that time.
Well, you still have common law. Common law just means that a society of people come up with laws that govern them. They have that in the beginning.
It's maritime law now. It's
maritime
law now.
Laws when you're on the open seas.
Yeah, well, that's what we're on.
Maritime law says that if you shipwreck off the coast of the United States, that you're allowed to come onto land, and you're allowed to come in. Actually, you're coming into a state X number of distance. Not
well,
no, mile,
no, 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 no. The U.S.
feet.
Corporation. No, the U.S. corporation. You know, this is what parts of the agreement was. The Vatican was the CEO of the corporation. The City of London was the CFO of the corporation. The United States was the military arm. Okay. Does it make sense now why the U.S. has been involved in endless wars? the Constitution for the United States of America became Constitution
exactly.
of the United States
We're
of America.
We're the military arm of the New World Order in progress.
Yep.
Well, don't you understand? Listen to this. Listen. Do you understand what changed the Constitution for the United States of America, right? What did it become? The Constitution of the United States of America, all in large caps. They changed it. They changed the document itself. The name. That's why I was telling you, two constitutions.
Joe, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You 50, what, 55? I heard this.
Hell no. Hell no.
No.
I'm not that
old.
You're
not that old? Well, they
no.
say you're 50.
How old are
I heard
you?
This.
I,
heard, I
don't even
I'm
think
personal.
I remember. How old are you, Joe Gibson? Curious minds want to know.
Not quite 45, not quite 50.
Well, let's say you 50 years old.
Okay,
I've been
so late
40s.
Okay.
Since you was 20.
Yeah.
I've been
I'm not 25.
You were, well, let's see, 19, let's say 1975, 25, another 23. That's 73. I've been listening to this since you was probably 20 or 15 years old.
All right. And it's going to break sooner or later. You know, I
yeah.
mean, you know, it's going to snap, and you see it going on around the world now. I mean, you know, all I'm saying is this stuff has to be addressed. I mean, if you want to get back to proper common law republic, you want to get back and restore our republic, it has to be addressed. If you're going to do convention,
well, wait a minute,
how do we
address it if it's a secret?
Not a secret. It's not a secret. You haven't missed the 13th Amendment.
This Incorporation Act
not by
change. Wait, you're saying that it's the Incorporation Act changed the entire structure of the United States government, changes, and we had a second constitution apparently unratified by the states. So how do we address
Let me ask you a question,
Sarge. That didn't happen.
Bar attorneys are not citizens. They cannot hold any political office. They took a foreign oath.
I understand
how about
that. How do we address a situation that you call a constitution that wasn't ratified by any state by vote of the legislature?
We have to arrest the criminals, but they can't because we can't because they're all dead. But I mean, these people are complacent with it. These people in office now who know about it, and the Vatican, for starters, you know, we got
well, we don't
you
have
know
no control over the Vatican. The thing is that if you
we're
say
partners with them.
Two constitutions, apparently one was ratified by the states. That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, we got to get back to that one. Yeah.
The ones that was ratified by the states is the ones that we have today. It's up to 27 amendments.
We can't have, we don't have two constitutions that are in place at the same time.
We were under the Constitution for the United States, correct? What's it called today? Constitution of the United States of America.
I don't know if
right?
this makes that much
makes
difference
sense, right?
than, like, people say that when you see an Admiralty flag, that means the whole Constitution has been changed.
Sarge,
I don't get
you hear what I just said? The Constitution for.
It's the same difference as between the words shall and should.
Yeah. Yeah. Shall and should. There's big differences there. Like citizen and person, they change these words and they mean a big deal in law, Sarge. In law, they're big deals, you know? In everyday talking, they don't mean nothing to you and me, but in law, they mean a lot.
Well, I agree with you on that. I mean, there's a big difference in law between the word may and shall. Shall
yeah.
is a directive. There is no argument about it. It must be done. May implies a degree of discretion. So I understand the distinction. I'm trying to understand the distinction with regard to this wording of the title of the Constitution. How does it make such a differentiation?
In large caps, small caps, the and of, they switch the of to the to the of, and it's a different name. Sarge, I mean,
okay,
you know, it's our Constitution. It matters.
All right. All right. Well, okay. Now, remember, I just explained to you the distinction of law between shall and may. Shall is directive. It must be done. May implies a discretionary option. Now, how does the word of and the significantly change the constitutional imperative? This is what
well,
I'd like to know. And please tell me specifically.
They incorporated it. For instance, you know, go to Bragg's and Dunn Street, right, and look it up, and it tells you right there about the corporation and why it's incorporated.
What's
you know,
the difference
we're
in the
we're corporation
too. I got
you know,
one.
You know, there's also in common law a specific way to sign documents.
Thank you.
You can sign.
Yes.
You can sign. You can sign on the left, the middle, or the right-hand side. And each signature, and each place that you would sign that document have a different connotation in law.
Exactly.
It also,
well,
there is also a big connotation in the type of ink that you use to make the signature.
Yep.
In common law. In common law.
Now, all right, let me ask you a very specific question here. In the preamble to the Constitution, the edition I'm holding in my hot hand right now, it says this. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty, do to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now, that's what it currently says. What do you find anything problematic with that use of the preposition for?
I'd have to look at it and study it. I mean, it's slick. You know,
I'm looking at my copy right now. That's what it says.
Yeah, that's what it says. Copy I got.
Establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now, do you have any problem with that wording?
Yeah, because it's supposed to say.
And Sarge, let me ask you, Sarge, what's the difference between their wording throughout both of them?
That's what I'm still trying to understand here.
We just can't start changing around words.
If we got two constitutions, what's the difference in the wording of the internal pages?
That's
well,
what I'm looking
now
for.
Well, now you're starting to get into capitals, large cap municipalities, stuff like that, you know, and corporate law and common law.
There's a big
difference.
Yeah, but Joe, the word for is a conjunction. I don't think it has this legal impact that you're claiming it has.
Well, I mean, take it up with the World Bank and Vatican and everybody. I don't know. What are you talking? I mean, look, his words have meanings. They're there for
but
a reason.
The World Bank came and knocked on your door and said, "Joe, give me $50. What you gonna do?"
The World Bank. I don't know. I wouldn't answer the door.
I wouldn't give it to him.
Capitals is a big difference. That's my banker name. That's my Social Security name. My government name, my IRS name, my Federal Reserve name is all in capitals. It does not distinguish the fact that my actual given name at birth, the only capital letter in my first name is L. All the rest is lowercase. That makes a difference. That
what
is my sovereign being is capital L O R I hyphen lowercase A N N. That is my sovereign given name by my mother. But my government name, my Social Security name, my IRS name, my Federal Reserve name, my everybody banking on, you know, my future profit name
but
is
this
in
goes
all
to the
capitals.
Document.
There's no distinguish.
It's like the birth certificate.
And that is significant.
Yep.
You get a certificate of birth. Right? You get a certificate of live birth, right? But then what's the difference between birth certificate and a certificate of live birth? There's two different documents that are important.
What's the difference? Suppose Joe Gibson, that you went to get a passport and you had to produce a birth certificate. So you go to the Bureau of Vital Certificates, give your mother's name, the date and all that, and it comes out that your name on the birth certificate is not the same name that you have been using through your life up to that point. Now what?
Well, like
I
said, well, you're given.
Where that happened.
I know, but there, you know, you have to remember something. You know, there's more to it than that. You got the Social Security Act, right? You've got all this stuff that they've done over years and years that have, you know, they gave you tracking numbers now, and there's bonds created, and there's debt. You know, I understand. Yeah, it doesn't seem like nothing. We could just end it with a snap of a finger, and really, you probably could, but there's. I don't know, man. It's just straight. It's like an unwritten rule, you know? It's like
literally,
something like respect.
I could get pregnant and be pregnant today, my child not even be born, and my child is already obligated because of the federalized United States of America instead of for America citizenship, and it's not even born yet, and it's still owed, and it's going to owe like $200,000 toward the national debt.
Yeah.
And they're banking on that. I have that baby, and guess what? Social Security, bankers, Federal Reserve, they're like, okay, this person's going to grow up to be employed. We're going to have to invest this much money in their education, and then they become adults, and then we're going to get them addicted to debt and have them in debt for every fucking thing that they fucking have in their life. You know, and we're going to bank on
okay.
that.
Okay, so let me understand
on that
this
and make
now.
Profits off of it and trade off of your little baby that hasn't even been born yet.
All right, let me try to understand this now. So you're saying that the conjunction for being changed to the preposition of makes all of this possible. Is that what I'm doing?
Sarge, you're taking it and you're analyzing and putting it all on one thing.
Yes, I am, because you guys are literally making this argument to me. This is the argument you're making to me.
Sarge, it started it.
How else can I do but look at it in the manner that you have framed it to me? This is the way you're framing your argument. You're saying that the change from the conjunction to the preposition makes all of these things, to include us being corporate serfs of the Bank of England, possible. The change of one word from a conjunction to a preposition.
Sarge, if Sarge, if I take one piece of sheetrock down in your bedroom, is your house going to collapse? No. But it still looks like shit, right?
Right.
I mean, come on.
I would think so. Yeah,
right,
I would think
then.
So,
that's
absolutely.
Well, compare it to that then. That's what happened, you know. It just started
I'm
the ball rolling.
If that's true, if that's the way I have to look at it, then I definitely don't get it.
Oh, jeez. I don't know.
Okay.
Because, I mean, this is an argument you guys are making.
Break.
You guys
let's
are telling me. Now, wait a minute. Well, let me ask another question.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding. I am taking my privilege as co-host right now. Privilege as co-host right now to let's set aside this for now, but we are going to go into no man's land overtime here in about 6 minutes. And so before the show recording ends, I wanted to promote all of our other shows real quick. Of course, there's, you know, my show on Sunday night that you guys can all tune into and you're invited to. Tomorrow night, tune in for Donnie C, Beyond the Mainstream, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Then, of course, my show on Sundays, as I previously mentioned. And then Mondays, American Statement, Sally's show. Her show is at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Joe Gibson's show, typically on Tuesdays at that same time, but he often does on-the-fly shows, so keep an eye out. And then, of course, come back here on Fridays. We got Ron Reck, who often puts in shows late night during the week and on weekends, so keep an eye out for Ron Reck, Crazy Nation Radio. So there's a lot to offer here in our blog talk radio shows, and I just want to promote everybody well before the recording ends for anybody that listens after the fact. So thank you for letting me interrupt you, and we can get back to the conversation unless, Joe Gibson, do you have anything coming up on your Tuesday show to mention or anything before we get back into the combo?
Monday morning, my name officially goes on the ballot here in North Carolina. So.
All right. Uh-oh.
Okay. Sunday morning?
Monday morning.
Yay.
So you need a coming out party then, right?
Yeah, I got to win first.
No, no, coming out is a sense of you're announcing officially for election.
Oh, okay. Well,
standing for
that.
Election.
I'm
That's
coming
what I mean.
Out. I'm coming out, you know, as a state.
I'm officially a Republican candidate.
No, let's change the lyrics.
You know. I'll be officially a Republican.
Okay, good. Good, Joe. We're going to wish you all the luck. And I guess we can do phone bank, can't we?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I need. You know, I've been trying to get all the people
I need,
here.
All you got to do is give me some of them, was it South Carolina numbers?
North Carolina.
North Carolina numbers, excuse me. North Carolina numbers.
That would be nice. That would help, man, for real, you know. Working the phones, that's huge.
All right. But again, in case somebody asks me,
like 30-second promo audio ad that we can play on our shows. If you're in North Carolina, vote for Joe Gibson. If you do like a 30-second audio, maybe put some background music to it or something that doesn't drown you out. Some of us could help you with that.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that I would play it on my show. I can probably speak for Robert. He would probably put on his.
Absolutely.
And even though we're from other states, it doesn't matter if people from North Carolina are listening to our shows because you're on it, then it's worth playing 30 seconds of a promo so people can check you out.
Why bring people to your shows? I mean, obviously you guys see 336 numbers popping up here and there. I mean, obviously, I mean, I bring people to all you guys' shows sometimes. Like Donnie C's last week, I think I brought like 7 people to on the call line last week,
Yeah, it was a good show.
Yeah, we would play your ad if you make one for us to do.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd play it, come up with what you want to say in 30 seconds, time it, record it, like we've done our promos, and I'll play it on my show.
Yeah.
Anybody that's out there listening, you're in North Carolina. Or, for donors, people don't have to be a donor from North Carolina. People from other states can donate to your campaign,
That's true.
30 seconds
right.
Could wield some donations and at least some checking out,
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely correct. I mean, because I already paid right for a radio station, right? You know how much they want for a 30-second ad, right, to play 5 times? That's it. $1,500. Unbelievable. That's on an FM radio station in the morning time.
It's extortion.
That's insane. It's insane.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're willing to do it for free.
I'm
not going to charge you anything. If you guys remember listening to my show when Arleon Noble was running for governor. He was the Libertarian candidate for governor. And he was saying, this is ridiculous. I have to have so many donations. I have to spend this amount of money. And he wanted to pay me to play his promo ad. And I'm what?
Sometimes you have to pay me.
But he was like, no, I want to pay you because I have to show these expenditures.
Yep.
He literally
right.
wanted to pay me to play his ad because state requirements say that he has to spend so much on media and advertisement. And
that's
I was
right.
willing to do it for free. He never did pay me. I still promoted him anyway.
But
he didn't do an ad for me. But I was just like, that's just fucking wrong. That's what's wrong with our political system right now. I should be able to play an ad for somebody, and they should not have to pay me for it. What the fuck? And then it gets into, what would I then do? If he paid me $50 every time that I played his promo ad, what would I do? Donate back to his campaign.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't tell Alvin Bragg. Don't tell Alvin
campaign if I support him.
Well, don't tell Alvin Bragg about that. Don't you dare talk Alvin Bragg about it. You might get him indicted.
That wouldn't be a bad thing.
No, jeez.
No, it's perfectly legal.
That'll pick you guys
That's
up.
How it works. That's the problem. That is how it works. This is literally state law saying that he has to pay people to play his promo ads. And
like,
there's nothing stopping me. He's paying me as a private person doing my own fucking show. I'm not a network. I'm just me. There's nothing stopping me from turning around and donating that money right back into his campaign. Legally, it's perfectly fucking legal. That's the problem. You know?
Well, it's just like all the news media. Okay? Whenever they do a news story, politician, it's an in-kind donation to their campaign. No matter what they say, because they are putting a candidate's name out there. And if they're doing bad, if they're saying bad shit about him, well, it's an in-kind donation to his opponent.
Yep.
Well,
or in Donald Trump's case, the more bad shit they say about him, the more support he gets.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things back in 2016 when Trump was running. He was always in the news. Every news cycle, he was in. And
yeah.
He wasn't
So you're saying then that good or bad about him, it's an in-kind donation either way?
Yes. Hey, you can
yes,
look at it that way. You can look at it that way. You could definitely look at it that way.
Uh-huh.
And that is how the money laundering happens.
You know?
Right, that's crazy.
It's flat out money laundering is what it is.
I don't understand. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand.
I mean,
state laws fucking require money laundering.
I do
laundering.
Not understand these campaign finance laws, to be honest with you. I don't understand
just,
how these people get loans. I don't get it.
You know, it's like.
It's insane.
When Trump becomes the Republican nominee, okay, every news media outlet will be running negative stories on Donald J. Trump. Every one of them. And you can consider that an in-kind campaign donation to Joseph Biden. Because they're speaking shit about the candidate.
Yep. There'll be no end of them.
Crazy.
Yep.
You start adding up the minutes on air and start applying how much it costs per minute to run a campaign ad, and you know,
fortune.
They're donating millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I don't even know how much it costs for a TV ad. It's insane, the prices. I mean, I didn't even bother checking.
Yeah. Well, that's even worse. Well, now you can get into, you know, if you haven't really looked at how Sam Bankman-Fried ran his, you know, cryptocurrency and all the money laundering involved, you really should. So much of that money, it was money laundering for the Democrat Party and Democrat candidates. It wasn't even funny. And then
they get
you
all
took
this money.
All that money.
I just don't get
you know,
it. How do they get
people
it?
People invested in it. And then he used their investment. And like I said, you know, it was all money laundering. You got to look into his case. You know, I mean, he was found guilty. Look into his case. And you will see exactly how this works because, you know, and this is just one facet. This was using one cryptocurrency company, just one out of how many, you know, and there's so many different ways. But the whole Sam Bankman-Fried, the whole fucking story of how he operated, how he defrauded his investors, how all the money went, changed hands and went right back into the Democrat Party and candidates and stuff. I mean, it's fucking eye-opening. There's no way I can even possibly start to describe it. If you look up Really Graceful on YouTube, and I know she did a few videos explaining the whole Sam Bankman-Fried fraud case and the connections that he had with the Democrat Party and how that money flowed. And she does it in a short way, but that'll just give you a taste of the level of this. And he's not the only one. You know, there's a lot of reason why the media didn't cover a whole bunch of it, because guess what? You know, there's a lot more Sam Bankman-Frieds out there doing this money laundering. And so they don't want you paying attention. So seriously, looking.
Who's the guy in New York that they were harassing?
Foreign aid is money laundering also.
Yep.
He's a Republican in New York. They want to suspend him or something or kick him out now?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you talking about Santos?
Santos.
They already kicked him out. He's already been kicked out.
They did kick him out today. Officially today. He voted to kick him out.
Asshole.
If he was black, they wouldn't kick him out. Isn't that what happened to those two there in Tennessee, Nashville?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. AOC should be kicked out.
Laurie, I posted on your Facebook page that information on the proposals. Three proposals.
Well, Piagi, they did kick those two Tennessee lawmakers out, at least one of them, but they had a special election, and there was nothing that would prevent him from being reelected in a special election, and that's what happened.
What about this guy in New York? Can he get reelected?
I'm not sure. I don't know if the expulsion is permanent or not.
If he's a federal candidate, I don't know of anything that prevents him if they get removed because of ethics that they can't run again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's anything preventing him from running again. It might be, time wasted.
You'll see me on the news.
Memories, fucking 10 years from now, nobody's gonna remember this shit, and they could vote him back in.
Let's put it this way, okay? He is the sixth member of Congress since this beginning of the country to be expelled from Congress. He is the first member of Congress to be expelled from Congress that has not been convicted of a crime. All the rest of them had been convicted of crimes prior to their expulsion.
Wow.
Yeah, but Congress can make those rules, and the courts can too. They can make those rules and apply.
Congress can kick out anybody they want.
Absolutely.
Yep. It doesn't mean
that's in their power. They have the power to make all rules for conduct of the Congress. And that's what the Constitution says. So that's what they've done.
Yeah, they make their own rules.
Right.
Yeah. And they can make them up as they go.
True.
They've been doing that.
Yeah. Why do you think Pelosi was so against, any laws that restricted Congress members from, trading on Wall Street on insider knowledge? Pelosi was one of the advocates against that. No way.
Well, what is
can't
it that
fucking
done?
Have
that's
that.
Why. That's why.
Well.
That's why there was a group out there in the stock market that zeroed in and specifically looked at any and all trades that Paul Pelosi made in the stock market. And this was, I mean, this was current. I mean, they were always watching what he was doing.
Yeah.
Because he, well, you know, he well, never, he never made, he never made an investment that he lost money at.
Well, insider trading is illegal, no matter who does it. So they
no,
weren't actually going to
no,
specifically
no,
give them
no,
exemption from insider
no,
trading.
No.
They were just saying
hey,
they could trade on issues that they would make a vote on.
Sarge, it is illegal for everybody in the country except for 435 people are exempt from that law.
They wrote that in the legislation?
Huh?
They wrote that in the legislation?
Standing rule.
Well, a rule, that
yeah, but a rule can't obviate the law, though. The law that they pass is of a higher standard than the rule we have in Congress. The rule cannot supersede the statute. So the only way they
yeah.
can be exempted is if they put that specifically in the statute.
No, it's not in every statute. There's one or two statutes out there that exempts Congress. But,
I don't know. That wouldn't be a statute. A statute is what regulates people. It's the Constitution that's supposed to regulate the federal government. I don't know of anything
well,
that gives
You got to remember this little slick item, okay, Sarge?
What?
And it's on the rulings, okay? They. They can pass the law, okay? But there's nothing that says they can't trade that stock prior to passing the law. They can move their money whenever and however they want to.
Okay, I see what you mean there. But, but if they did it after the fact, though, theoretically, at least, I understand these people get away with murder.
Okay,
I understand. I'm just saying. Theoretically, if they were to do it, after the law was passed, they'd still be subject, legally at least, to the sanctions of the law.
Yeah.
Well, the law still applies.
They do it. They make all their trades legally. Before the law is passed,
okay? Okay, I see what you mean, yeah.
They've made sure that it's still legal for them to do so.
Right,
so
okay, yeah, I get it,
is,
I get that.
You know, like, they know that they're going to be voting on legislation next week for some, you know, fucking EV mandate or, you know, some kind of, whatever fucking mandate that they're thinking of. And meanwhile, so all those members of Congress have that heads up, like, hey, yeah, we're going to have that vote next week, and we're going to either put in put options for the shit that we have right now, or we're going to buy the stocks that we know